This is the Steve Cochran Show, live from the Allstate Showcase Studio.
WGN Chicago.
720 WGN.
There's got to be a morning after. Remember that in the Poseidon Adventure? The boat was upside down. Donald Trump and Hillary Clinton won big last night in Illinois. And overall, Kasich won Ohio, as guaranteed here and other places. Mm-hmm. Is the Duncan race confirmed yet? The final results of the Ken Duncan race?
Not yet, no. Nope, it is not officially confirmed
too
yet.
Too close to call.
It's too close to call, but I think Juliana Stratton is going to eke it out.
Why do you say that?
I don't know. I just have a feeling.
Oh, I see. This is you don't know that for sure, though.
No.
Okay.
That's just my
guess. Well, that would go along with the way the night went, certainly.
Oh, my goodness.
What else? Obviously, Kim Fox. Kim Fox beat Anita Alvarez.
Kim Fox wins. Tammy Duckworth wins. She'll face
Mark Kirk
in the general. Yep.
And in, I'm trying to think if I'm missing anything else in Illinois. Those are the major races in Illinois.
Those are the major ones in Illinois, yeah.
Around the country, Florida, the swamping. The Donald Trump swamping of Marco Rubio leads to Marco Rubio getting out of the race. Mm-hmm. His delegates are essentially free to go, but not until they're released. There's an official process it has to go through. It involves a secret handshake, a small meeting in the woods, and we'll see what happens from there. There is a sort of ceremonial thing that usually goes on at conventions where candidates that have left the race long ago still get votes in the first round. It's a ceremonial thing.
Mm-hmm.
Before they're released, Rubio could literally pick up the phone and call all of his delegates, 100 and whatever of them, and say, hey, I'd like you to support this person or that person. It doesn't mean they'll do it. Pledged delegates are bound to the candidate even after they're out of the race. You think these rules are a little outdated?
They're very archaic.
They're kind of self-defeating. So we'll see what happens with Rubio's delegates. Rubio won Minnesota. I was on with John Williams last night at WCCO. We were talking about this. And Rubio won Minnesota.
Mm-hmm.
And he won a small island in the Pacific somewhere. And that was pretty much it. You know that phrase, too much too soon?
That was Rubio.
No, too little too soon.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, too little too soon. He should have stayed in the Senate. He should have grown for another term. And he should have seen what happened. Listen, I can't explain the Trump thing. No one can explain the Trump thing. We may devote some time to it later in the week. I've thought about doing this because I'm a fair guy.
Mm-hmm.
Thought about doing this where we just devote a show, not an hour.
A whole show.
Devote a show to people who are supporting Trump to try to, you know, to try to elucidate what they see in Trump that I don't see.
I think your head would explode after 15 minutes.
Maybe.
Maybe 20 minutes.
Well, 20.
You know, I did listen, though, to Trump's speech last night at Mar-a-Lago.
Mar-a-Lago. Don't get it wrong.
I'm sorry. Sorry, Mar-a-Lago. I listened to it in its entirety. And at one point, he made a comment saying, this is Mar-a-Lago. You don't have to stand. You're in luxury here. You can sit. Did you hear that part? You can sit. Mm-hmm. This is why we're here. This is luxurious. And then he said he did make a comment about it's good to be rich and America needs the rich, mm-hmm. which is
true. I don't disagree with that.
I don't disagree with that either. It just came off very interesting sounding. But, yeah, it was a very interesting speech.
Meanwhile, Bernie Sanders made a speech that the networks didn't carry because they were waiting for that speech by Donald Trump. So, yeah, it's all ratings driven, of course. I don't know what to tell you, kids. Don't know what to tell you. Hillary Clinton, in the meantime, we had a big night. It's not over yet for old Bernie.
Mm-mm.
But the fat lady's warming up. And they move on now, as do the Republicans. Next big state to talk about is Arizona next week, where Trump is a heavy favorite there as well.
But honestly, though, Clinton's victories in Florida, Illinois, Ohio, and North Carolina, I know the race is too close to call in Missouri right now. Even if Bernie Sanders gets that, there's still no way he can catch up to her delegate-wise.
Well, there is if the superdelegates switch, but the superdelegates aren't going to switch unless they believe Bernie can win.
Right. I don't see that happening.
I don't either, actually. Kevin Paul, live from Arizona later, the Hawkopedia, will be today, and it's tied to the Blackhawks and the MB Financial Bank Breakfast of the Blackhawk a bit with Marcus Kruger, who will be on today.
Mm-hmm.
And Marcus Kruger is going to make an announcement that he's going to give me his number today on the show.
Since he's already done that once this year,
he just keeps giving his numbers up.
Yeah. Well, he just signed a new contract, so he should be in a good mood.
I hope he gives me that number. because he makes more than I do.
Yes.
But Kruger will be on. And there's the MB Financial Banks folks are in love with a guy that does a very cool thing with pancakes. He said, Steve, what are you talking about? Steve?
Steve, what are you talking about?
Go ahead, ask me. Steve, what are you talking about?
Steve, what are you talking about?
Dan Cakes. Mm-hmm. Dan Cakes is the shorthand for this. There's a guy named Dan who makes customized pancakes in special shapes, sizes, and designs. Like, for instance, the
cool
Blackhawks Indian Head logo.
Mm-hmm.
He can make a Blackhawks Indian Head pancake.
Can he make a Steve Cochran head?
That's what they're going to do.
Oh,
they're going to make a Steve
is
Cochran.
Is there enough batter?
They're sending out
is
for more.
Is the pan big enough? Oh,
they're
sorry.
Sending out for more batter. So they will have that in here. And they're going to set up in studio, I think, next hour and start whipping up pancakes. You guys pancake fans?
Love pancakes.
I like the Sandberg on this. Sandberg, what do I not know about this?
Nothing other than I wonder if they're going to make him Swedish ones because he's Swedish.
Kruger, Swedish pancakes. Look what you did there.
There you go.
It's early. We'll look at it.
We had a long night.
You have a Duncan update?
Yeah, WGN-TV reporting that Duncan will not be returning to office in November. Juliana Stratton is the winner in that race.
Okay.
Boy, you know what? And when I went to vote yesterday, this was a very hotly contested race, and I didn't realize how emotional this race was. I know this is
President Obama there telling you to vote for Juliana.
Well, Stratton is backed by Madigan, of course. Mm-hmm. Obama's backing Stratton. But I went to vote, and there was a whole bunch of people. You know how you're really not supposed to be electioneering right mm-hmm. by the door? There was a group of people. They were Duncan supporters, and they were asked to move down the block. The police came and moved them. They weren't doing anything illegal.
Was it a 100-foot rule or something?
Yeah, but they were too close. They weren't, inciting or anything like that. But mm-hmm. they were asked to move down the block, and they were just being loud and rowdy. I did see
Was Madigan there?
I didn't see Madigan.
I'm not even sure he exists.
Didn't quite see him.
Dean's in Los Angeles this morning. We'll get a little bit of Dean. We'll talk about the brackets today, the brackets for the big event tomorrow. We got a couple of experts on what happened last night to break it down a little further coming up. And also want to replay a little bit of the Hillary interview from yesterday, Hillary Clinton interview from yesterday, including where she gives me grandparent advice.
That was fantastic.
That was hilarious.
That was the best part of the interview.
And
are you going to follow the advice?
Are you going to follow the advice? Yeah, that's what I want to know, too.
I thought I was doing okay. Maybe I'm not. I don't know.
Maybe we should ask Ross.
I don't know. Maybe I'm questioning everything. Karen Conti on the show today also doing legal advice. All right, 617. And let's get to a traffic trouble spots update. Mary, you have that. Six 21 later this morning, President Obama will nominate a new Supreme Court justice to replace the late Antonin Scalia. There are three on the short list, all of whom received overwhelming confirmation support to the current judgeships they occupy. The most likely candidate is an Indian American who is or was once called by Ted Cruz one of his best friends. I don't know that he's wearing that as a badge, but they are all people that should have Republican support. And as of now, Mitch McConnell and others in Washington and leadership on the Republican side are about to shoot themselves in the foot again and claim the president doesn't have the right or won't be able to even bring a nominee forward.
It's you're speechless. I mean, and these nominees, too. Especially Sheree, the one that you're talking about, they've all been unanimously confirmed at their lower in their lower positions.
Not unanimous.
Sheree, I think, was Sheree 47
was,
to.
Yeah, Sheree was. Yeah. The other two were big pluralities.
Yeah.
So there's no reason not to give them a hearing. And again, Scalia, if he were alive, to go, listen, when you replace me, honor the Constitution that I lived by. That's exactly what he would say. So the Republican Party continues to not be able to get out of its own way. It is unrecognizable at this point. It's 6:23. Now, let's be positive. Let's be sunshine and puppies. Let's say that the Republican Party comes to its senses today and says, look, we will consider, and then we will advise and consent, as the Constitution asks us to do. We will take a vote, and then we will turn him down. but we will at least go through the process. You have an ability to faithfully consider whoever the president nominates. That's the way the Constitution works.
And these nominees are moderate.
They're moderate, and they're fully capable. Now, he may bring somebody else up.
Sure.
You know, you maybe Judge Judy. You know, maybe
I don't know if we'll bring up Judge Judy.
She's strong. And she doesn't need the money. She's already made all the cash she needs. 6:24, we're standing by for Alex Jaffe. Is that accurate? Alex Jaffe will not be with us. He is going to be with us. Can I get some advice and consent from the producer's booth? Go ahead and turn a microphone on.
Down. Doesn't look like she's going she might be hungover from covering the election.
All right, we have a drunken reporter who won't be joining us. So Alex Jaffe just got bumped from the show. Later on, we will have a couple other folks who have covered it extensively, if they're sober. In the meantime, the Supreme Court nomination today, or the Supreme Court candidate put forward for nomination. No, this is, let me rephrase that a fourth time. The Supreme Court nominee put forward for consideration. That press conference will be, or is it a press conference? It's more of an announcement.
Announcement, yeah.
Will be later
announcement,
today.
Yes.
At 6:25, the Hawks need a win, and they need a win now. They will play the Flyers tonight, and you got to stop the bleeding. Is it a must win? Nah, not really, but it's a darn important one. And I would assume that, you know what, I'm guaranteeing a win. I am guaranteeing a win tonight. I've been wrong about everything else. I might as well be right about this.
Yeah, no, I'm with you on that. I think the Blackhawks do win tonight.
The Hawks and the Flyers. And the Flyers, now I haven't followed the Flyers in recent years. Do they still have Bobby Clark?
No, Bobby Clark is no longer is no longer playing.
Oh, really? The Broad Street Bullies? It's not those guys
no,
anymore?
No, it's not them anymore.
Okay. But they will be at the Madhouse tonight? Is that what's happening?
They will be at the United Center tonight, 7 o'clock face-off.
And I believe you will have an opportunity to get one of the first Q stashes tonight, the Coach Q mustaches tonight. There will be a mystery section that will be chosen, and somebody tonight will walk home with a Coach Q mustache.
Can I ask a mustache question? All
sure.
Right, now, are these, will they be affixed? You know, like, will there be a little bit of something sticky on the back? You put it there, or is it like a cord that goes around your neck, like
no,
elastic?
I believe they're adhesive mustaches.
Okay.
Yeah, I believe. Now, I've not seen the final product. I was not in on the approval meeting. Matter of fact, I wasn't in on many meetings. Here's how it worked for me. I kept going, really? We still don't have the mustaches? That's the conversation as it went with me. So, but that is scheduled to happen tonight. Scheduled to happen tonight. More later. Is Ross, do we have any sense of the Blackhawks wanting to be on today to discuss that, or is that to be determined later in the show?
I would say that's to be determined. Doesn't look like. You know, I think they're afraid of the impact Mustache Night is going to have on the team.
They don't want to rush to the United Center right now. They don't want people lined up
exactly.
All day.
Exactly. You know, okay. It could cause serious safety concerns.
Is Alex Jaffe laying in front of the United Center trying to sober up? Is that part of the problem?
Yeah, probably.
Okay. All right, 6:27. Let's collect ourselves and come back, and we'll go ahead and do the Karen Conti thing after we do the big story. What's the big story coming up?
Let's see. What should the big story be?
Oh, you're doing the election.
We are definitely doing the election.
All right. In a moment on 720 WGN. We'll get to the big story in about a minute. Also coming up, your winner last night, your Republican frontrunner, a man within a whisper of the presidency over the next few months, by all intents and purposes, has a contract for his volunteers that forbids all criticism of Donald Trump for the rest of their lives. Okay. And no, I'm not kidding. So that contract was leaked. It's amusing, and it's not going to change a thing, but you got to see it. You got to hear about it.
Can you see trying to enforce that in court?
Well, in the new world we're living in,
it's all
the
hearsay.
Court of Trump.
Yeah.
So
it's free lawyer time. Karen Conti is on. It's the Steve Cochran Show on 720 WGN.
Please rise. Court is now in session.
Stand by for Karen Conti. She apparently is on the phone with a bad guy. We'll get her on here in just a second. In the meantime, as we roll forward at 6:38, later on this morning, we will go over our brackets. And, Mary, have you done your preparation? Because it's always struggling. It's a struggle for you, I know, to kind of wrap your head around the nonsense that is March Madness.
I did my preparation. Okay. I, you know, consulted my son, who I compete against for this, and he laughed at me. And so I did change a few things.
He laughed at you?
He laughed at my brackets. But he does that every year. So I'm used to it. But you got to take chances.
Yes, you do in life. That's our lesson. That's one of the early lessons of this show. Let's go live to Dave. Yes, Dave.
Do we have any? Do we get any credit for having picked the playing games last night correctly?
No,
I didn't think so.
That was like a bullpen,
and it's so unfair.
So you know, it's odd that we're not going to do this for a couple more hours, and yet the whining has already begun.
That wasn't whining. That was just statement of
but
fact.
I know a way to stop all the whining, stop all the yelling, stop everything.
What's that?
Just give me the trophy right
now. Give it to you now.
Remember?
Okay. All right. Yeah, fine. We're still working on Carroll County. All right. So let me go back to what I was talking about before, which is this leaked Donald Trump memo. Something called the Daily Dot. You know the Daily Dot, the website, the Daily Dot? It is a breaking news site, even though all news now is breaking news. Got a copy of the six-page, unenforceable memo that Donald Trump's campaign asked prospective volunteers to sign. In addition to forbidding volunteers from disparaging Trump, the contract also includes a sentence that volunteers prevent their employees from criticizing Trump. You can't criticize Trump, and no one you ever met, known, or will know in the future can criticize him either. That makes volunteers responsible for the free speech of others for an indefinite amount of time. Non-disparagement, non-disclosure, and non-compete agreements, which are all found in Trump's contract, are common in business contracts. Many of them are illegal in several states and fully unenforceable. Anyway, we'll get to this and also the notion that Donald Trump will not now pay the legal fees of the old geezer who punched the African-American protester when he was leaving the other day, because Trump now, in his own magical world between his ears, said he never promised to pay anyone's legal fees. So that's coming up. In the event we find Karen Conti. Is it possible Karen Conti is with Alex Jaffe, our 620 no-show? You think they may be together?
You know about the memo, though? I have a question for you. There's something called the First Amendment. Saying that you
don't have
slander.
First Amendment rights. I am in charge, apparently, of your First Amendment rights.
Oh, okay, Trump.
So anytime you want to try to engage in your constitutionally guaranteed free speech, apparently, you need to clear it with me.
I didn't see that little asterisk in the Constitution.
Frankly, it's a burden on me. I care not to take on. So, I got a lot going on. The weather's breaking. I have things I want to do. I can't be worried about your free speech and Dave's free speech and Mary's free speech. That's asking a lot of me, to be honest with you. So. Now, there is an important IRS note. You heard me talking about this with in regards to our friends at LifeLock a few moments ago. But the IRS, Better Business Bureau folks, have told us again and again and again and again and again that this is Christmas season for the scammers. This is an opportunity for the scammers to just absolutely go to town. There is one overriding thing for you to remember, because a lot of this is phone scam stuff. The IRS, along with never being able to be gotten out, if you want to call the IRS, good luck. It's like winning the lottery to get the IRS on the phone.
Weren't you on hold one time for 50 minutes? Or your whole
hour and 15 minutes.
Yeah.
The entire time it took me to get from here to, I believe it was St. Charles or Geneva, it was an hour and 15 minutes.
On hold. Yeah.
Yeah. You know, I was just driving along, singing a song. Wasn't bothering anybody.
It's a long song.
Yeah. Never, ever, 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 ever. And that was several times where I refused to give up any more of my life. But there were various times on hold for 30 minutes, on hold for 45 minutes, whatever the case may be. So the IRS never available on the phone. So consequently, it shouldn't be a surprise to you. They don't call you.
No.
So you need to talk to your parents, your grandparents about this, certainly your adult children, anybody that's paying taxes. That if you get a call from someone purporting to be from the IRS, they're lying.
Yeah.
They're lying and they're scammers. Now, if you want to play, amateur law enforcement, if you can get any information off them, including the phone number from which they called, the most of the time they're blocked, then immediately let your local police folks know and ask them to pass it on to the IRS, or simply go on the IRS.gov website where there's a scam button of some kind. I don't know what it's under. I'd have to look at the website again. But you can follow those links and report somebody who's trying to cheat you.
It's scary, though. I mean, I've gotten that phone call, and the IRS also doesn't leave you a voicemail saying, hello, you owe the IRS $10,000. Please call this number. They're not going to do it. They're going to send you something in the mail if you indeed owe money.
Yeah.
And if you're being audited.
And I've gotten those certified letters. You know, you get a certified letter from the IRS, that's a day where you're going to pay attention to the mail. Coupons, cable bill. Oh, what is this? Certified letter from the IRS. That's one you'll open up. Or try to bury in the backyard and hope it doesn't dig its way out in the middle of the night.
Absolutely.
So please know that. Please know you are never going to get a call from the IRS. And if you do, it's someone trying to steal your money. Another helpful hint from your friends at the Steve Cochran Show. Mary's standing by with a traffic update. We're not sure what happened to Karen Conti. We hope she's fine. We're sure she is. She's probably busy or sleeping or both. So we will get back to her as soon as possible and try to grab her for a segment right after we take care of traffic. In the meantime, this is the Steve Cochran Show, and that's Mary with your traffic trouble spots updates. Looks like it quit raining, so the car's getting around a little easier. Karen Conti now joins us at K Conti Law. And good morning to you, Ms. Conti.
Good morning, Steve.
A couple of things. You recently, in the past, a week or so, came by, and this is an idea that came from Ross Cochran that I thought was a good one. And I think we've pursued it to almost the point of completion where you're going to be available by video for some frequently asked Karen Conti questions. And how did the shoot go?
It went really well. You know, the same questions come up all the time about child support, bankruptcy, privacy in the workplace, on your computer. And so what I did was I kind of culled out some of those common questions, and I answered them. And we taped at the beautiful Tribune Tower, and we had some nice backdrops. And we're going to continue to do it and maybe do it at different locations around the city.
It's a cool idea, and we will tell you when that is up and ready for your perusal. So, you know, it could be 2 o'clock in the morning, and suddenly you need information. You can go to the Karen Conti Frequently Asked Questions section. Which, do we have a name for it yet? Have we decided what we're going to call this?
Not yet. No, we're still thinking about ideas, and I'll pick yours.
Okay.
Yeah.
So we'll let you know when that's up and running, but it'll be just a matter of a few days, if not by the end of this week, certainly.
Yeah.
At K Conti Law, as I mentioned, or you can call her at the office. How?
312-332-7800.
All right, so we know the president is going to nominate a new justice to the Supreme Court today for consideration by the Senate. We know that the Republican leadership said we won't even meet with him. We know it's nothing but politics. We know it's stupid. What else do we need to know?
You know, I think Obama's just going to do business as usual. I think he picked three people. He's narrowed it down to three individuals who are very...
Oh, did we lose her?
I think she might have driven through a tunnel.
Was she named to the court?
She didn't want to say. That's embargoed.
Well, that's unbelievable. We Karen Conti was cut off just before she announced that she will be nominated to the court today.
How cool would that actually be?
Man, she's qualified.
She's very qualified.
We'll get her back on the phone here in just a second. Also coming up on the program in the 7 o'clock hour, as I mentioned, we'll play a piece of the Hillary Clinton interview. Also, Kim Fox, who... won this highly contested state's attorney primary last night. And because there is no Republican side to this argument, Kim Fox will be the next state's attorney.
Yes,
She'll be on with us.
She'll be on with us at 7:40 this morning, Kim Fox.
We'll ask her if she's glad she won.
I'm sure. You know, that's a good question.
It's a pertinent question.
She was so overwhelmed last night. I don't know if you heard any of her speech. Anita Alvarez conceded, Kim Fox spoke, and she brought her daughters up. And her daughters are so cute. They were so excited.
Well, that's quite an achievement.
They were crying and crying. And she said, I think I'm going to cut the speech a little short because my daughters still have to digest what just happened.
Yeah, it's quite an achievement. You know, I mean, you grow up in the projects and suddenly you're the state's attorney. That's a pretty impressive deal. So good for her. Now all she has to do is be really good at the job.
Oh, big time.
But I do think there's an aspect to this, like there is other things in life where you be careful what you wish for.
Mm-hmm.
Where you get the gig and then you go, I'm sorry, what? I won? Really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
She was very nice to law enforcement, too, saying obviously the dangers that police officers go through every single day on our streets. So giving a big nod to law enforcement. So, yeah, we're going to talk with her this morning.
While we make an effort to reconnect with Karen Conti in a faulty phone line, I have very exciting news for you. It's coming soon to 7-Eleven. It's the fill almost anything with a Slurpee on 7-Eleven's Bring Your Own Cup Day. The 50th anniversary of the Slurpee means you can bring your own cup to any 7-Eleven location Friday or Saturday from 11 a.m. to 7 p.m. And for $1.50, put all the Slurpee in it you can find.
Does a crock pot count as a cup?
I think so.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah. The container must be able to fit through. Oh, well, it's got to fit through a 10-inch hole.
Oh,
so up to 10 inches. But you could find a 10-inch pail.
Oh, yeah, you could. Like a big funnel.
Yeah, if you love Slurpee, don't you go to Home Depot on the way and you find yourself some sort of contractor's 10-inch pail?
It's a lot of Slurpee.
It's got to fit through a 10-inch hole. What'd you say?
I was going to give you a big headache. Don't you get big headaches from Slurpees?
Brain freezes.
Brain freezes?
Yeah. I don't drink a lot of Slurpees.
I like a good Coke Slurpee.
Yeah.
Now, there's a guy. This is a BuzzFeed story, and there's a picture of a guy who is carrying what amounts to a baby swimming pool filled with Slurpee.
Oh.
So apparently he knew somebody at the 7-Eleven. So, but allegedly follow the rules, and it's a 10-inch hole that you have to, you know, fill your Slurpee. Back with Karen Conti. Were you named to the Supreme Court? Is that why you hung up on us?
Well, I think President Obama was just trying to reach me. I think I was the fourth candidate. What the heck is happening today?
Right.
I think it's the wind. I don't know.
Yeah, it's been a stellar first hour of the program. We're going to make it up to you. We're not number one. We're not the number one talk show for no reason. We'll get it right here. So here's the deal. The announcement will come later today. This person then has to be considered by the Senate and voted up or down. But they can't be considered if the Senate doesn't push forward. The judges, the three judges we know of, have broad appeal and certainly have chops to do the gig, don't they?
They all do. And you know, it's really hard to tell sometimes if these justices are really as conservative or liberal as the politicians want to make them. But a couple of them have been really good, lauded by Cruz and some of the conservatives. So, you know, again, these are people who follow the law for the most part, and it's very difficult to tell if they're going to be liberal or not. I mean, David Souter, for instance, sits on the Supreme Court, and he was supposed to be very conservative, and he turned out not to be.
Mm-hmm.
But when you put someone in that seat, they generally, you know, follow the law, and sometimes their decisions go down on the liberal side, sometimes on the conservative side. This is just going to be a political show. I think Obama is going to do what he's supposed to do under the Constitution. He's going to nominate somebody who's very well qualified. And I think the Senate Judiciary Committee is going to grill him for 20 hours or so. And I think, there's not going to be a nomination. And I think it's going to be a shame. That's my prediction.
Well, I would be pleased if it at least got to the consideration part at this point. But the Republican leadership has no argument here that they can make. The Constitution provides for the president to make this nomination and for the Senate to consider it. There's no argument against it. There's no precedent for it. There's no legal way that this should not happen. So, again, this is a representative democracy, kids. Are you being represented here? All right, let's go back. I'm sorry.
I just think I don't know how much people are going to get up in arms about this, because this is a branch of government that's probably, you know, number three. I mean, you know, people care about the presidency, as we all know, as we watch the television set for the last 2 months. But I just don't think people care about the judges, and they don't see them doing work or out there talking. So therefore, it's not real to them. So I have a feeling this is just going to be politics as usual, and I don't think people are going to be that upset about it.
I agreed with you when you brought this up before, and I would agree with you in general about it, because certainly you know more about this than I do. But I don't know anything anymore. In a world where Donald Trump could be the Republican nominee, I don't understand it. Speaking of Trump, here's the other thing I want to bring up to you. Donald Trump, quote, "I don't condone violence at all. I looked at it and watch it, but I don't condone violence. And maybe you're right, it's violent, and that's why I wouldn't pay for the man's legal fees. When an old geezer punched an African-American protester leaving an event, Donald Trump had said previously, don't worry, I got your back.
So I got a little notice in case you see. the security guys, we have wonderful security guys. They said, Mr. Trump, there may be somebody with tomatoes in the audience. So if you see somebody getting ready to throw a tomato, knock the crap out of them, would you? Seriously. Okay? Just knock the hell. I promise you, I will pay for the legal fees. I promise. I promise.
All right. He promised twice. Now, yesterday on Good Morning America. No, I didn't say that. I haven't looked at that tape yet, but nobody's asked me to pay fees, and I never said I was going to pay legal fees. This happens every day, and he got 40% plus of the vote in Illinois. I don't know what people are seeing that I'm not seeing.
I don't know if it's just the amusement factor. I think, you know, people, a lot of people say, Stephen, you've heard this. Oh, he's so honest. He's really saying, you know, honesty is a wonderful thing, but, you know, we need someone who's a little diplomatic, and we can't be talking to foreign countries, you know, completely honestly.
Hey, if Kim Jong-un comes over, I'll punch him right in the face. I'll punch him in the face, and I'll pay my own legal fees. 2 seconds later. Oh, I never said that. Donald Trump is this guy. Who are you going to believe? Me or your lion eyes? Donald Trump is a guy. His wife comes home. He's in bed with a hooker. Who are you going to believe, me or your lion eyes? I don't understand it. I just don't. I don't understand. Can I sue Donald Trump for lying?
Donald Trump has sued everybody. And one of these days we should talk about his list of lawsuits. He has sued everybody and has been sued himself. This guy is a full-time legal issue. He really is.
All right, so here's what I want your staff to do between now and next Wednesday.
This is the Steve Cochran Show, live from the Allstate Showcase Studio on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
7:10 in the morning. Hillary Clinton had a big day yesterday. Bernie Sanders isn't done being part of the fun yet. But Secretary Clinton certainly is on a roll now and back in control of her own fate with the Democrat superdelegate thing that they run. And don't be surprised if the Republicans don't adapt this going forward. It appears that Hillary Clinton is at the unstoppable point. But do we know anything this year? We really don't. Here's a little bit of Hillary Clinton from yesterday's show where we asked her a bunch of questions she doesn't get everywhere else. And she appeared on the program yesterday, prior obviously to yesterday's vote and last night's results. One of the things I brought up to her is, what role does Bill Clinton play in a Hillary Clinton White House if you win?
Well, I'm looking forward to having my husband's advice, particularly on the economy. You know, all the former presidents have asked Bill to carry out special missions, and I'm sure I would do the same. But I am, you know, very anxious to have somebody who, you know, presided over the creation of 23 million new jobs and the increase in incomes for every part of America to be by my side, making the case, coming up with good ideas. Look, it's going to be a time when I want everybody to chip in and help. I think this is one of the most consequential elections we've had in a very long time in America. And, you know, I'm proud to have Bill's help and expertise, and I want to put him to work.
You know, there's also the opportunity here, because I believe you will be the nominee, there's also the opportunity here for Bernie Sanders to have a louder voice. Now, I know you've known him for a long time, and I feel like you like him personally, regardless of how you differ on various things and how to get things done. And I think that's one thing the Democrats have done, you know, not like I need to say this out loud, a little better than the Republicans have done, actually talk about some issues without what's happening. But having said all that, would Bernie Sanders, if in fact you are the nominee, could you see him doing something in a Hillary Clinton administration?
Absolutely, Steve. I mean, first of all, you're right. We've run a campaign based on issues, not insults, and I'm proud of that. We do have our differences, and I think it's fair and right to point them out. But we have tried to stay focused on our goals for the country, the problems we want to solve, and you know, what we bring to the table. So I would very much like to have Senator Sanders be, you know, part of what we want to do to improve the lives of Americans. And you know, if I'm fortunate and I'm in the White House, he will still be in the Senate, and we're going to have to really work hard, starting literally on day one.
Secretary, in Illinois, as you know, we have no budget, a clear case of Republicans and Democrats not working together. How will you continue to reach across party lines to work with both parties if you're the nominee, if you're eventually the president?
Well, I have to say I find the situation in Illinois very distressing, Andrea. I do think that your governor has taken such a hard, uncompromising stance and has his own ideological pet projects that he's pushing. I have found in my experience that I can find common ground. I found it as First Lady, as Senator, as Secretary of State. I will do that again. And I know it's not easy, but I know it can be done. But you've got to listen to people. You can't just be, you know, directing and ordering people to do what you want to have done. So I'm going to seek common ground, but I will also stand my ground on critical, important issues that I think are key to America's future. But look, we've got to bring people together. We need to be uniting the country, not dividing the country, or in the case of Illinois, not dividing the state. And you know, putting at risk education and so much else that is critical to, you know, helping, you know, many, many people, you know, manage the challenges of their work life and their education. So you can count on me to do everything I can to find that common ground.
Well, I think the key that you brought up there, because certainly you've taken a lot of fire from Republicans through the years, but you've returned it as well. The key here in Illinois is an understanding that the Democrats also bear a lot of blame. You got Mike Madigan and John Cullerton in Springfield who are helping tear the state apart as well. So, you know, we need that kind of discussion here that we're not having. And you can't have it if the state legislators don't show up or aren't called by Mr. Madigan. So when you get to Washington again, and the Senate or the House, if they're controlled by Republicans, want to play those games. I don't think you can be in the White House like President Obama has been as much. I think you got to take the limo over to Capitol Hill and shake them up a little bit.
Oh, I agree with that, Steve. You know, it's so funny because when I'm actually in some kind of a position, I have a good track record of being able to work with Republicans and get things done, even partisan Republicans. And I know the burden rests on the president because you've got to build those relationships. You have to open the door. You have to find opportunities to make common cause. You know, when I was First Lady, after we weren't successful on health care, I worked with Republicans and Democrats to create the Children's Health Insurance Program. I worked with one of the most partisan Republicans, Tom DeLay of Texas, to reform the foster care and adoption system. We didn't have anything else in common, but I knew that he cared about foster children, so I reached out to him. And when I got to the Senate, I don't think that there was a Republican I didn't work with on something. And as Secretary of State, I had to round up 13 Republican votes to vote for an arms reduction treaty with Russia over nuclear weapons. So it takes constant, steady work. And, you know, when you're dealing with people who are ideological or just, you know, obstinate, you can't walk away. You've got to keep coming at them and, you know, give every opportunity for people to try to work with you. And that's what I will do.
Secretary, I heard your husband speak at the Rock of Ages in Maywood on Sunday. Very persuasive and beautiful speech. Said some wonderful things about you. I'm sure it's nice to have your family campaigning with you. And so my final question to you is, Steve, you just became a grandpa a few weeks ago.
First timer. It's great. 12 weeks old. She's beautiful.
And aside from showing selfies constantly, grandparenting advice.
Oh, that's true. Show. Yeah. Do you have any grandparenting advice for me since you got a head start on me?
Well, you know, Steve, first of all, congratulations.
Thank
there
you.
Is Eddie. No experience in my life to match this. Okay, I have three quick words of advice. Number one. Support the parents.
Yep.
Try to find your moments to offer advice, but don't deluge them with advice. You know, a lot of things have changed since you and I were first parents.
Sure.
So you got to be respectful.
Mm-hmm.
Secondly, you do have to also be a little subversive.
After all,
you're the grandparent, so you know it's okay to be supportive, but from time to time, a little subversion. And look, I'm waiting until I have the opportunity to provide maybe a little different worldview to my granddaughter. Expand her horizons. And finally, just have fun. You know,
yeah.
FaceTime was invented for grandparents.
That's Secretary Hillary Clinton in one of the more human moments you could hear from her. So
be subversive.
Yeah, I like the subversive thing.
That was great.
But she's not kidding about that. Not the subversive thing necessarily, but not kidding about the find your spots thing. Because I'm real good at handing out advice.
when you're asked for it, right?
I'm real good at handing out what it's not asked for. But I think I've gotten better at not doing it at the right times. I didn't go to any of her grandparent training courses, but I appreciate her advice yesterday.
It was very nice.
I think if I sat Ross and Lauren down and said, what were you most concerned about in regards to relating to your grandparents? I think what they would have said is that you wouldn't shut up, that you would tell us what to do. And I think I'm pretty good at not doing that.
No, they would never say that. No, no.
Yeah, they should, actually. It's, but I don't think I do that. I don't think I do. Well, Ross, do I do that?
After the 6 o'clock hour we had, whatever you said, yes.
It's 7:20. It's time for your traffic. Mary, what do you have?
We are moving closer to securing the Democratic Party nomination and winning this election in November.
7:24, man, it's such a double standard. And it's hard to point it out in a lot of ways because she's the only female in the race. But a lot of the talk after her speech last night was, boy, her voice sounds terrible. Boy, she sounds so shrieky. She sounds so tired.
I know. I heard that, too.
I mean, you know, a female voice is going to do that, and you can't do anything about it.
No. And you know what? You should have heard Bill Clinton on Sunday. His was really gravelly.
His voice was so gravelly, you could barely hear him hitting on the interns.
What? Why wouldn't say that part?
But... but anyway, you just heard from Hillary Clinton a few moments ago here on the show. Dan Marica covers the Democrats around this lap around the sun and joins us now. He covers them for CNN. Good morning, Dan.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Thanks for being on. So is Bernie Sanders done? What are people telling you?
You know, the Clinton campaign would quietly like you to think that. His campaign says that, you know, it's not over. They're going to take this all the way to the convention in Philadelphia. But it sure is difficult for him to feasibly make up the delegate deficit he currently has. I mean, after last night, they certainly did not expect to be swept in all five states. Even the Clinton campaign didn't expect to win all five states.
Well, there's
her delegate math will be somewhere close to over 300 delegates easily.
There's no way
than Obama ever had. Yeah,
there's no way to make up that deficit in real time without momentum, because the momentum is all you would be able to use going forward if you're Bernie Sanders to shake some of those superdelegates free down the road. So the Democratic system is set up in favor of Secretary Clinton at this point. But the only way he breaks that is if he wins. And if he didn't win last night, how's he going to win going forward?
So there's a few contests coming up where he will likely win caucus states, like, you know, for example, Washington State, Idaho, Alaska. But those states are so small compared to the states Secretary Clinton won last night, you know, Ohio, Florida, North Carolina, that, you know, the momentum might be there. He might be able to claim, you know, I've won the last four or five states, but the delegate math will be more, you know, nickel and diming his way towards taking out that 300-plus delegate lead. His campaign is now saying that they're going to have to convince superdelegates, these Democratic officials, right, who have their own vote at the convention, to come their way. Like, it's likely the entire Democratic establishment has been behind Hillary Clinton for months now.
Right. And the superdelegates being the leadership of the party in various ways that you would quantify leadership, they want to back the winner.
Yeah, absolutely. So members of Congress, you know, Democratic chairs in different states. I mean, it would be hard for them to justify switching from the candidate who is winning has a 300 delegate lead to the candidate who is claiming momentum, even if he doesn't have it.
Now, in this circumstance, in every presidential cycle, there's always the notion that, well, I want my message to be heard, so I'm going to continue to go on for the indefinite future for that reason. Anybody on the Sanders side telling you that off the record?
No, I mean, they haven't been saying that for the entire campaign. They've been saying that he, you know, he wants to win. He wants to be president. Now, of course, he has impacted the race. There's no doubt about mm-hmm. it. There are a number of issues that have, you know, been talked about, and there are a number of issues that Secretary Clinton has made key in her campaign because of the fact that Bernie Sanders was her opponent. But you won't hear that from the Sanders campaign, especially not publicly, because that more or less it's defeat, and they're not ready to do that.
And, of course, the big piece of this always comes down to money, and he still has a lot of it, doesn't he?
A ton of it, and he can raise a ton of money, too. I mean, the numbers, after other election nights, he's raised millions of dollars in the short time after polls closed. Obviously, that might be different last night because he didn't win a state, but he still has an amazing ability to fundraise online, far superior to Hillary Clinton. She has to spend a lot more time actually going and asking for money, going to fundraisers. For the last three quarters, she has personally headlined 58 fundraisers. In the entire campaign, Bernie Sanders has headlined around 9. That's a lot of time that Hillary Clinton is spending asking for money. And Bernie Sanders, all he has to do is, you know, send an email out or make a pitch at an event like he did a few nights ago after the I think it was after the New Hampshire primary. He just made a pitch at an event and raised close to $6 million.
It's Arizona, Idaho, and Utah next week, and then Alaska, Hawaii, and Washington after that. And then we're into April, and Wisconsin leads off April. Dan Merica covers the Democrats for CNN and obviously keeps an eye on the Republicans as well, but we'll talk about that next time. Dan, I appreciate it.
Hey, thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
Take care. Dan Merica is at CNN, and we'll throw up his contact info. You should follow us on Twitter at Cochran Show. Basically, everything we talk about ends up on the Twitter feed at Cochran Show or Facebook.com/Steve Cochran Show. And WGNRadio.com/elections is where we put election coverage throughout campaign 2016. As of this point, and Pat Brady talked about this last night on Channel 7. Pat Brady, did a great job on Channel 7.
He did. I was watching him. He did very well.
He called me this morning on the way in. He's on French TV this morning.
Is he?
Yeah. French are not big fans of Donald Trump, and when they heard Brady's take on the whole thing, they wanted him on.
Does he speak French, or are they going to have somebody kind of in the background going?
He doesn't. Let me tell you, he doesn't speak English. It's 7:30. We'll come back with a big story next on 720 WGN. /7:41, one of the big races last night was the state's attorney race, and Kim Fox joins us now, the winner of the primary and the next state's attorney. And congratulations, Ms. Fox. Well done.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it.
How are your girls? We're worried about them.
They're fine. They are home sleeping at this hour. They were overwhelmed by the gravity of what was happening. I don't think they could appreciate what it meant for mommy to be running for office until the confetti was in their face and the crowd was there.
Sure.
They realized what was happening.
How old are they?
13 and 10.
It's pretty emotional stuff when you see your parents put everything into something and have it emerge that way. It's just kind of a release at that point, I guess.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, the 13-year-old, I was telling someone, it's hard to impress 13-year-olds. And, you know, when we wrapped last night, to hear her say that she was proud of me meant the world. So it was a big night.
All right. Now you got the job. You sure you want it?
Absolutely. Absolutely. See, we've got big challenges here in Cook County, and we need someone who is committed to tackling them, who takes this work deeply personally. And so I absolutely want to give my all to fix our broken criminal justice system.
Kim, congratulations. I know you talked about turning the page. You gave a really nice speech last night, and you made reference to law enforcement and the task and the job that they face every day. So how are you going to start bridging the gap between law enforcement and a community lacking trust right now?
Certainly. I think we have to begin by meeting everyone where they are. I think the conversation around, you know, the relationship between law enforcement and community has to start from a collaborative place as opposed to a divisive place. And again, I think we all share the same goals to make sure that our families are safe and protected, you know, whether you're a police officer or, you know, a plumber. That's what all, we all want, the same things. And so when you come from a place of commonality and start the conversation, I think you can move it further. But we have to start having those conversations on both sides.
As you go forward with this now, do you have a 100-day strategy like the man or the woman in the White House will have?
We're going to be working on that. You know, in the coming days, I'm going to get a little rest, spend time with my children, and get my head clear and assemble, you know, a group of people from diverse backgrounds to look at the enormity of the task and put together priorities. We know for a fact, you know, rebuilding trust is a top priority, as well as dealing with the issues of gun violence that are plaguing our community. How we do that, what that first 100 days looks like, is something that we'll be working on in the coming months.
And Kim, I know you said you're going to work with the mayor, but also make it clear to him that you're going to be tough on crime no matter what, even if there's some sort of corruption or allegations or whatnot in his office or in City Hall.
Yeah, I mean, the expectation of the people of Cook County is that we hold everyone accountable for their actions, no matter who you are. And that's an expectation that I will continue, that we have to do that. If we want to repair trust, the way that you do that is that you make sure that anybody, stakeholder or not, is held accountable for their actions. So I continue to maintain that.
Who's the first person you called after you won, since your family was with you?
Who was the first person I called? I didn't call. I lost my phone for a few hours last night, which was miraculous. Uh-oh. Having been on the campaign trail.
Let's start a conspiracy theory. Somebody stole Kim Fox's phone.
I think it was my team who finally said she'll stop looking down and pay attention to everything around. Yeah, I absorbed. I had friends from Cabrini Green. One of my childhood best friends flew in from California to surprise me last night, and he was there. My brother was there. My husband and my children were there. So I absorbed it with my family who showed up last night.
And did you get a call from Anita Alvarez?
She did, in fact, call. She called, and she was quite gracious. She offered to help with the transition. And as I said, you know, before, it's clear that she enjoyed being an assistant state's attorney. She dedicated her career to that. And certainly she wants to make sure that the office transitions in a smooth manner, because it's about the work of the office and not the individual.
Well, it's nice to hear. And that's the way it should work. Congratulations. I hope you get some rest, and our best to your family. And tell your girls, if they felt self-conscious last night, they came across great and they're beautiful. And I wish you nothing but success, because we need you to be great.
I appreciate it. Thank you both so much.
There you go.
Thank you, Kim.
Kim Fox.
Her daughters were so, so cute.
Yeah, and you don't want those little girls to feel bad because they were crying on TV. They were just, letting it go because their mom won.
Oh, they were so excited.
7:46, do a traffic update, and then I want you to meet Dr. Dan. So let's do this as we do a live show meeting, Mary. You're going to do the traffic, and then right away, before we go to the break, I want to talk to Dr. Dan, because we have another guest coming up as well, Tim O'Brien, who is somebody that Donald Trump sued not too long ago. We could do the whole show on people Trump sued. But before we get to that, we get to the cars. What's happening, Mayor? Dr. Dan is here. For those of you who have seen him and know his work, know that there is no greater pancake artist on the planet.
Oh, shucks.
No, it's true. Don't you be modest. And our friends at MB Financial Bank are big, 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 big fans of yours. And as part of the MB Financial Bank Breakfast with the Blackhawk today, Dr. Dan's nice enough to come in and make some special pancakes. You're going to make a pancake of my head?
That's what I'm told, yeah.
All right. Do you have enough batter?
I think so. Okay. I might need to mix a little extra.
What's the largest head you've ever made a pancake of?
Largest head I've ever made a pancake of.
I mean, I got to be close,
metaphorically,
right?
Speaking. I did a Donald Trump pancake once.
Oh, he's got a huge head.
Yeah, you know, he's got all that.
Did he see it?
I have no idea.
He wasn't in a room.
No.
Because if he saw it, he would have tried to sell it, license it, market it and sell it.
Yeah.
How do you become a pancake artist?
Well, I got started as a fry cook at a diner in South St. Louis.
Okay.
And I started doing smiley faces on pancakes, sure, just to try and make my tips better. And the very first time I served one, gentleman told me it made his day, and he gave me $15 for it, and a little light bulb went off.
Ding, ding,
like,
ding.
All right, I'll keep doing that. About 5 years later, a friend of mine had taken a picture of me and put it online, and it went viral out of the blue. And the Today Show found out about me. I got flown out to New York City the day before Thanksgiving in 2013. And once I got home from that, people started to call me and ask if I'd do their birthday parties.
What were you making at that point that you could do on the Today Show? Were you doing a turkey pancake?
Well, it was they had me do like a pilgrims and turkeys and stuff. But I also did, like, first off, I did like Al Roker and Matt Lauer's faces and all the, sure. the hosts and that stuff. Sure.
Do you need me to pose for this, like Kate Winslet in Titanic? Do I have to be shirtless and lay on a couch?
I mean, I guess you can if you really want to, but we've got reference photos pulled up.
Oh, you do? Okay. Yeah. Okay.
Do we have a say in that?
Yeah, Ross, would you go ahead and do photo approval?
Do you guys
on
even
the,
have a couch in here?
On the pancake that Dan's working on? So
I don't know if you want him to see those pictures of you.
What are you talking
your
about?
Son.
Oh, no, not those pictures.
Oh.
I just want to make sure Dan has, you know, my good side, which would be the back of my head. pancake artist. Could you work in other mediums?
The skill set kind of transfers over. Yeah. I mean, there's certain things that are specific to pancake art that you got to really learn how to do, like flipping it over and stuff. But
sure.
then there's also like just a fundamental grasp of shapes and geometry and colors and all that kind
sure.
of stuff that works in all kinds of different mediums. So,
other dough possibly?
Other dough. I haven't really experimented.
Have you tried cookies?
We haven't done cookies. I mean, I've seen other people that do that, but I mean, I found my niche, you know?
You're the pancake.
I'm the pancake.
You're the doctor of pancakeology.
Yeah.
Pancakery. I understand. Are we going to be periscoping this? Is that the deal? Okay, so we'll get the
future is now.
We'll get the Periscope address for that so you guys can actually watch Dan doing this. How long will it take you to make my head?
5-10 minutes.
All right, so let's time this out appropriately. Do you need a practice pancake? Are you like a relief pitcher where you need to warm up first?
Not so much anymore. I used to mess them up all the time, but well, once you mess up about 15,000 of them, you're like, okay, all right.
So why don't you do one that you can show us before you work on the mastery of my head?
Okay.
How do I keep this, by the way? Do I freeze it? How do I keep my head?
Freezing it is the most consistent way to preserve it.
I will tell you that the Minnesota State Fair at one point carved my head in cheese.
I thought you were going to say ice, but cheese, that's
in
okay,
cheese.
Too.
And then we had listeners come by with crackers, and they ate cheese out of my head.
That's...
In other words,
was
big
that on your
shoes
bucket list?
To fill.
Yeah, okay.
I thought you were going to say big cheese.
Nice to have you here. How do people follow you?
Well, we're all over social media. We're on Facebook, Instagram. You can just look for Dan Cakes, or our handle is at Dr. Dan Cake, DrDanCake. And then dancakes.com. You can book us. You can get commissions of if you want to see your own face or a loved one's
nice.
Face in pancakes, all that kind
nice.
Of stuff. That's my full-time job now. So
God bless the work you're doing.
Thank you.
All right. Nice to see you, man. Thanks for being here. MB Financial Bank, thank you for bringing Dr. Dan over as well. All right. Well, of course, he had a big night last night.
I don't think Hillary has the strength or the energy to be a great president or to be president. I really don't.
Timothy L. O'Brien is the executive director of Bloomberg Gadfly, Bloomberg View. Been an editor and a writer for The New York Times, Wall Street Journal, The Huffington Post, Talk Magazine. Several years ago, he got access to Trump like nobody else. The only one closer to Trump is Melania. And O'Brien joins us now. Mr. O'Brien, good morning. How are you?
Hi, Steve. How are you?
Nice to talk to you. You are the only one currently on this phone call that's been sued by Donald Trump, but I like my chances.
Well, hang in there. Maybe it'll happen.
Yeah, I think I'm right up there with the possibility of having it hit. This comes
he likes
from,
to sue people.
Yes, he does. This comes from the book Trump Nation, where you showed the good, the bad, and the ugly of Trump. So you know him and you knew him much better than the rest of us when this started. Are you amazed, or did you sort of see this coming?
I don't think anyone saw it coming. On the other hand, I wouldn't say I'm amazed either. I mean, I think he's going to be with us for quite some time, whether he gets the nomination or not, whether he wins the presidency or not. I think he's been running the campaign thus far on a shoestring and basking in the limelight, and I think he's at the apex of where he's always wanted to be in his life, and I think he's going to stick around for quite a while, whether he's president or not. He's become a force on the political landscape, and I imagine if he's not in the White House, he'll get a brand new television show after all is said and done.
Did he ever say to you back in the day that he wanted to be president?
Oh, sure. I mean, remember, he's run quasi-serious campaigns a few times before. As I've noted elsewhere, I think he thinks of himself very cinematically. He's somebody who, before he went into his wealthy father's real estate business, had thought about moving out to Hollywood, become a movie producer.
Of course he did.
Yeah, Clint Eastwood's one of his favorite actors. I think he thinks of himself almost as a sheriff and High Plains drifter, walking down the middle of the street alone, ready to settle some scores. He thinks about himself that way. And I think that informs some of the showmanship that he pretty deftly brings to a lot of his self-promotion. The reality, however, is that person who's the self-promoter has never been a particularly good businessman.
The alleged wealth, which at one point he described as, you know, day to day, it goes to how I feel. That's really not how you figure out a person's wealth. He claims it's around $10 billion. Look, he's clearly got a lot of money. But how much is a lot of money? Has there ever been an estimate that you've seen since he declared last June that he was running that you say, yeah, that's about right?
Well, no one really knows until, you know, he comes forward and lets, you know, a third-party accountant audit his finances through and through. During our litigation with him, he turned over tax returns and financial records. Among the documents we got was an audit by his own bankers that assessed his net worth at around $788 million at a time when he was telling me that he was worth $5 billion. Mm-hmm. He was telling casino regulators he was worth a few billion. It's all a little irrelevant in and of itself, Steve. The reality is that he's a wealthy man. However, he's a serial bloviator and an outright liar on a number of issues that goes beyond just his wealth. It goes to his track record in the casino industry. He put his casino company through 3 corporate bankruptcies. He's been through 4 corporate bankruptcies during his career. When he ran the casino business for over a decade, it was never profitable. When it went bankrupt, investors, employees, and pensioners and the city of Atlantic City were deeply harmed by that. In his real estate life, he hasn't really had a major high-scale project of his own in New York since Trump Tower in 1983. And he famously gorged on a lot of bank debt to buy a lot of assets he couldn't afford, which he then lost. And the person who emerged from that in the 1990s and then in the early 2000s was essentially a human shingle who licensed his name out on buildings, vodka, underwear, mattresses, you name it.
You name it is right. And that was part of the press conference the other night in Florida at Mar-a-Lago, where he rolled out products that once had the Trump logo or still did, including something I'd never seen before, fraud steaks. Steaks that he bought from a meat house somewhere else in Palm Beach. I guess the relevance of the wealth question to me is honesty and his ability to fund his own campaign, which is one of his core promises. If we know that it's going to cost $1 billion for the Republican nominee to run for president, he's got to get that money from somewhere. So isn't he dependent on how much people hate Hillary Clinton?
Well, what he's dependent on is the GOP's financial apparatus supporting a national campaign. If he were to release his tax returns, it would firm up the notion of whether or not he can self-finance. He's been running his campaign on a shoestring. A modern presidential campaign costs about $2 billion to fund. I am highly skeptical that he has that money. He told the New York Times a few weeks ago that he had $1 billion in cash on hand. I'm highly skeptical that he does. I don't think he's in any position to self-fund a presidential campaign, and his tax returns would make that clear. And if he's going to fund a serious campaign against Hillary Clinton, he's going to need serious money behind him. And I think that's going to be a problem for him.
Tim, he's so polarizing. People either hate him or love him, but he's pulling in the numbers. He's winning primaries. He's winning all these states. Do you see the Republican Party rallying around him should he get that nomination?
You know, I don't have a crystal ball. I don't, however, see the Republican Party right now as happy with him as the nominee. I think this is a historically cleaving moment for the GOP. I think the GOP is going to have a lot of wreckage to sort through in the wake of Trump's candidacy to decide what the party's about and what it wants to become. The other thing we have to remember is Trump has been getting around 30% of the primary vote in the GOP primaries. He's getting around 30% of 25% of the vote.
Right.
That is something that may win you some primaries. It's a very different animal when it comes to a general election. And he's got to look at those numbers pretty carefully.
It's at Tim O'Brien, T-I-M-O-B-R-I-E-N, all over social media. The book's called Trump Nation, which you should read because Tim did a great job on it. And it's a look at Donald Trump that'll scare the hell out of you if it hasn't already. I think it ought to be required reading. Tim, we'll pick this up next time. I hope we can do it again.
Thanks for having me on, Steve.
I appreciate it. Back with your, you know, you just got to take a cleansing breath once in a while. You know what I mean? Back with your news in a moment, and we'll see how Dan Cakes is doing.
We got more bounce in California than all y'all combined. We got more bounce in California. We like to party all the time. We got more bounce in California.
We continue the Wintrust Community Banks Hour. Dean Richards is sponsored by the Captain James A. Lovell Federal Healthcare Center. He's in Los Angeles this morning, which is why we got more bounce in California. And we've got a couple of quick things to go over with Dean, including the Pride of Plainfield, Melissa McCarthy's new movie. He's going to talk to her today. And Harrison Ford is 127 years old doing a new Indiana Jones movie.
I think that'll be cool. Don't
How about
you?
That?
Love Indiana Jones.
James Beard Award nominees are out. And then in just a few minutes, having nothing to do with fancy pants celebrities, Peter Bergen, for my money, the best terrorism expert on the planet, has a new book out on homegrown terrorists, a CNN go-to, Peter Bergen. He's on Channel 9 a couple of minutes ago, and he'll be on with us in just a second. Let's get traffic, and then we'll go to Dean in Los Angeles. What do you have, Mayor?
Inbound on the Eisenhower, an hour from 53-55, heading outbound. Still an hour 10 on the inbound Kennedy from O'Hare, 46 from the Edens with an accident outbound at Fullerton in the left lane, 50 minutes out to O'Hare. Outbound, Edens very slow up to Lake Cook, 36 minutes. Inbound Stevenson, 42 from the Tri-State, the Ryans, 22 from 95th. Also very heavy traveling on 355-53, 55 to 63rd, 88 to North Avenue on I-90 into 53 into Naperville on 88, and all the way northbound Tri-State, 127. Up to 55, Bryn Mawr to Randolph on the drive. Traffic sponsored by Meijer. Friday and Saturday, shop the Meijer two-day sale. Save big. Plus, get an extra 5% off grocery, 10% off general merchandise, and 15% off apparel with M-Perks. Clip at mperks.com. Mary Vandeval, WGN Traffic Central.
Dean Richards, live from a fancy hotel in Los Angeles. Good morning.
Good morning to you.
You saw the new Melissa McCarthy movie last night?
It's called The Boss. She plays.
She's a female Trump.
It's kind of a female Trump, Susie Orman, you know, financial advisor who loses her empire and then, you know, has to try to figure out what to do with her life. But she is very Donald Trump like, that's for sure. Pretty good movie. Not reviewing, of course. You know, a few laughs in it. Completely shot in Chicago. This one, you know, set in Chicago and actually shot in Chicago. This is the one that she did maybe like a year and a half ago, something where they shut down a lot of the Lakeview neighborhood to accommodate what they were doing. So, you know, fun to see that always.
And the Batman-Superman things tonight, do we know why they're fighting?
I'm going to find out tonight. I'll see tonight. Maybe it's just an ugly political argument.
You mean like one, like Batman said Trump and Superman said Kasich, that kind of thing?
One sucker punched the other one. I don't know. I'll see it tonight. I'm pretty excited. We're going to see it tonight and then tomorrow talk to Ben Affleck and Henry Cavill, Batman and Superman, and the whole cast. And I'll have some more details while still not reviewing it for you tomorrow.
What do we make of Henry Cavill dating teenagers? Do you know about this? Henry Cavill seems to have a fascination for very young women.
I have not heard that.
Ask him about it. Make that your lead.
Okay. So I hear you're a big perv.
Harrison Ford, I've reached an, not that you have, Dean, but I've reached an age where I'm pulling for the old guys. Harrison Ford's doing another Indiana Jones?
Yeah, it's going to be the fifth Indiana Jones movie. He's getting together again with Steven Spielberg. Indiana Jones and the Search for Foods That Are Easily Digestible,
right.
I think, is the working title of the movie right now.
Indiana Jones, Return of the Split Pea Soup is the daily special.
And strained prunes.
You know what? Good for him. Good for him. Make it while you're alive. It's harder to make it after that. Mariah Carey gets a reality show. Will this include her giant boobs?
This will include at least one of them.
Okay.
I don't know. They may shoot it in 70 millimeter.
Will it be shot in her giant cleavage?
There's going to be, that'll become an amusement park attraction ride where you could actually ride the giant boobs, go down into the Valley of Death, and
it almost killed Nick Cannon.
That's right. This is going to be on the E! Network, and it's going to include, I guess, her marriage to this new billionaire guy. Seems like she's doing okay since the Nick Cannon recovery has taken place.
And the James Beard nominees are out. Can you say what they are, or ones that we know?
The Chicago restaurants did really well with this. You know, these are the, as they call them, the Academy Awards for the food industry. The restaurants that are nominated in the Great Lakes region, which is Illinois, Indiana, Michigan, and Ohio, sounds like a Super Tuesday, are all Chicago restaurants. All Chicago restaurants. The chefs from Fat Rice, Grace, Boca, Nico Osteria, and Sepia. These are the restaurants which are, you know, generally considered to be, you know, critics' favorite kind of restaurants. For Rising Star, Jenner Tomaska from Next in Chicago was nominated. Alinea was nominated for Best Restaurant. Our pal Rick Bayless from Topolobampo nominated for Best Outstanding Service. Sepia was nominated for Outstanding Wine Program. Chicago restaurants, Chicago chefs did really well with the nominations, and these are going to be given out on May 2nd in Chicago. This is the second year now that they're going to do the ceremony at the Lyric Opera, where the cream of the culinary community will get together from around the world and give out these awards.
Well, I know how you like culinary cream. Enjoy your time in Los Angeles. You'll be back by the end of the week, or what's your schedule?
I'm going to be here for the rest of the week, There's a bunch of other movies. But
you'll be available to us for exploitation tomorrow morning.
Completely, and we'll everyone's asking, wondering about this Batman Superman movie. I'll see it tonight, and I'll give you whatever details that I possibly can. I got to go see if I can find a Superman costume because I like to go dressed up to the screenings. I don't know if
Wonder Woman can be an option, Dean.
That's great for the critic cred.
Because Wonder Woman's in this one, right? Gal Gadot?
Oh, yeah.
Yes, Wonder Woman is in this one. Yes. I dressed up as Melissa McCarthy. I like to dress up when I go to these screenings. That's just me.
Listen.
So if I can find a Superman costume in Husky Boy sizes, I'm going to do that tonight.
No one's judging you. Thanks, buddy. All right, before we go to the break, let's go to Steve Grzanich. It appears the Obama nominee has leaked. Reuters and others are reporting who, Steve?
Sri Srinivasan, the appellate court justice from the Washington, D.C. Court of Appeals. is Reuters quoting a source as saying he is likely to be the president's selection when the president comes into the Rose Garden. In about an hour and a half, 2 hours, at 10 o'clock Chicago time, Sri would be the first Asian American, also the first Indian-born justice on the Supreme Court. He is 49 years old, I believe, or is he 59 years old?
49, I think.
49, yeah. So he is, he's also, you know, he's one of these guys that has already won from Republicans a seat on one of the most influential courts in the country, and so it would be hard to see why they would oppose his nomination. But the Reuters again reporting Sri Srinivasan is going to be the president's, likely to be the president's selection at 10 o'clock.
All right, let's talk brackets for a second here. Please pull your brackets, Mary. Everyone have their brackets out. Let's go over how this is going to work. If you have a bracket and you're ignoring your job, that would make you an American. And you have an opportunity to enter the WGN bracket battle. As long as you do it before Thursday, you go to WGNradio.com and you can find out all about it. You got to have your entries in by tomorrow at 11 a.m., and then there's cash prizes and a perfect bracket to win you $1 million. You get the highest point total. You drive away with a 2-year lease on a 2016 Ford Focus from El Pamonte Ford. And you can play at WGNradio.com/bracket battle. You won last year, I think.
I think I did.
Yeah.
We don't remember.
Sorry, Dave.
I don't. No one else seems to remember that, Steve.
Don't remember.
Pretty sure. Pretty sure. You don't remember it that way, Dave?
I really don't remember.
No. God, and you have such a keen sports mind.
Mm-hmm.
It's crazy.
Yeah, that's not sports.
Wow.
As you go through your brackets, we're going to revisit this later next half hour. We're going to quickly go through each region and see if anybody has any sterling upsets, any upsets in any bracket. Now, Mary, I want you to listen to me now, okay? Here is an upset. An upset is when a higher numbered seed would beat a lower numbered seed.
I understand that.
Mary, why don't you write this down? When a higher
numbered seed. It's the walk on people that
beats a lowest numbered seed.
I got it. So I'm trying to see. What do you want me to see? If I have an upset here?
Like if a 12 beats a
5. Well, I'm trying to give you 20 minutes warning here.
Well,
so in the next 20 minutes or so.
There's 64 brackets on here. It's very confusing.
You should only be using one bracket, actually.
Well, I mean 64 games.
Well, right? Actually, no. There's 32.
Oh, okay. 64 teams.
Well, actually, no. If you go all the way through to the championship
36.
Game, you're adding games.
We are flying right now, aren't we? This is exactly how I hoped it would go.
It's what you envisioned.
Cap up there with two brackets.
In case you missed it, Mary was the winner of Most Confused. She won a Stevie Award for 2015.
I have an upset.
Did your family was your family excited about your Stevie Award?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Did you even tell them you won a Stevie Award?
Maybe. Mm-hmm.
Did you forget that you won a Stevie Award?
I was confused. I forgot.
That all seems
they don't need to know.
That all seems
so I have the B. What is that other award I have?
What are you talking about?
The resting face. The
BR.
Bitch
face.
Resting bitch face. Yeah, I have that one too.
Yeah. It's quite
a
year for you.
Yeah, I'm doing well.
Quite a year for you in 2015. Meanwhile, behind me and on Periscope, you can follow me at Cochran Show on Twitter or at Dan Cake. Is it Dan Cake or Dr. Dan Cake? You guys tell Dr. Dan Cake. At Dr. Dan Cake. And you can see the Periscope of my face being made on a giant pancake.
He's making the WGN logo right now.
Oh, is that what he's doing?
Yeah, it's really cool looking. Very
nice. You can follow that on Periscope. But eventually he's going to send out for extra batter and make my head.
You're going to need a lot extra batter.
Yeah. Dr. Dan is the world's greatest pancake artist. So let me tell you something right now. If you think you know the world's greatest pancake artist, and it's not Dr. Dan, you don't know the world's greatest pancake artist. I'm going to tell you right now, I don't know if they picked this up at Rio, but if they have, gold medal, baby, right there. This guy can make anything in a pancake.
Hope there's enough syrup for that head.
For my head?
Mm-hmm.
Send out for extra syrup when you get the extra pancake batter. We made Al Roker's head. Al's got a huge head.
He does. Not a huge body anymore.
He looks weird, doesn't he?
That's stupid.
I'm happy for his weight loss, but it just didn't translate over the whole body.
As Mary and Andrea take you to another show they're doing separately from this one, let's do the big story, and then we'll continue. Don't forget to follow the Periscope feed and watch the action of the Pancake Batter Extravaganza. He's a pancake artist, people. And we want to thank our friends at MB Financial Bank again for setting this up. Dr. Dan Cake, Cochran Show, those are your two Twitter feeds. That's kind of perfect. I remember I opened for Weird Al at Southern Illinois University in like 1986, maybe. 85, 86, somewhere in there. No, 87. It was 87. By the way, he looked exactly like he looks right now. Dan Cakes. Dr. Dan is here. Grew up mostly in St. Louis and around there and was minding his own business. Wasn't hurting anybody, working at a diner. Did a Have a Nice Day pancake, and the rest is history. Every day, you become an even greater pancake artist.
I try.
You strive.
I'm hoping for that.
You work,
I guess,
towards it.
You know, it would be bad if I kept making pancakes and got worse. But I mean, I'm sure it'll happen eventually.
Do you have an artistic inspiration?
An artist, like a muse?
Yeah. Yes.
Like a pancake
muse.
Do you
have a pancake muse?
I mean, I guess I've just been following the money.
Right. Good for you. Good for you. So your muse, your muse are $100 bills.
Not to, you know, make myself sound like that guy, but
no, I'm not that guy.
No. Let's be real.
And we're just at the outset of the Dr. Dan Cakes empire. Yes. He's got a lot of big plans coming up.
On the edge.
You may have seen him on the Today Show, and our friends at MB Financial Bank made sure you got over here to make pancakes for us. You have completed the WGN radio pancake.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to make a pancake of my head shortly. If people, and by the way, here it is, and it's fantastic. Look at that logo.
Cool.
Isn't that cool? I don't know if Mary, you, and Steve can see that from the seventh floor. Well, both of you are ignoring me, so. but that's fantastic. What is the skill when it comes to this? Is it patience? Because you do this pretty quickly.
It's, I mean, there's been a lot of learning involved. I've been doing it for about 7 years now. But patience is important. You also do have to be mindful of your speed because I cook with the griddle on. So, you know, you got more time than you'd think with the griddle on. I keep it at a really pretty low temperature, but there it goes. There it goes.
Oops.
Gravity makes things difficult sometimes.
There it goes.
Pass that around to Dave Kinchin.
I would say skill, patience, and just willingness to fail repeatedly. Because, I mean, when you're doing it, you cover up the image you're drawing as you go. And so it took me a long time to sort of get to a confidence level where every time I flipped it over, I was like, that's what I wanted.
So you lay the pan, you spill the pancake batter out into the grill.
Mm-hmm. You've got like little condiment bottles, like ketchup bottles.
Right. And then you start your artistic effort how? Like you have the sketch in your head or do you follow
usually
a template?
I am drawing from a reference. I'll have my phone in my left hand and a bottle in my right. And
yeah,
I'll
like you had a picture of me you're going to work
exactly.
off.
Exactly.
Right.
Yeah. Right. I mean, I can draw people's faces in person as well. And I mean, but usually it's with a reference. So there's some things that I've just done so many times for kids' parties and stuff.
And this would be really good for your social life, I would think, right?
What?
You know, this type of thing. I mean, wouldn't this be a great pickup line for somebody? I can make you pancakes in the morning.
Right.
Yeah.
That look
and
like
they'll
your face.
Look like you. Yes, it's fantastic.
Indulge everybody's secret narcissism.
The Chicago Blackhawks Indian head pancake we saw you make, that's pretty intricate. What's the most difficult one you've done, like, as a career in 7 years?
The most difficult pancake I've ever done. There's some portraits I've done where I've been going for realism, and with something as awkward as pancake batter, that can take a while. Mm-hmm. But I did The Rock. I was pretty happy with the portrait of The Rock I did. It was relatively convincing.
The Rock in pancake.
Yeah, you could catch his smile and his eyes and everything, right. A little twinkle.
And if you have these done, you said freeze them and who knows how long they'll keep. You could show these forever.
We did an event for a woman at a church once, and then we did the same event the next year, and we had cooked the Pope for her. And when she came back the next year, she was like, it's still in my freezer. So as far as I know, it'll last a year, but that might just be for Pope pancakes. I'm not sure.
It's funny you say that, because people often claim they see Jesus in their breakfast food. Yeah. So, you know, there is some sort of tie there. Dave, do you have a pancake request? I don't know that we'll be able to honor it, but Dr. Dan is here.
A pancake request? I know the WGN logo is great.
It's fantastic. I mean,
it really is fantastic.
You're a man of simple dreams. You really want nothing more.
Well, I mean, I'm trying to think. Could you do like a you've done the Blackhawks logo. I'm trying to think of something sports related here.
So the Northwestern logo, I guess, is
right. Well, I was kind of thinking too. I don't want to put too much pressure on Dan.
Andre, do you have a pancake? Do you do requests and dedications in your pancakes?
I do. Yeah. That's actually a big part of our business.
Yeah. I like the WGN one. I think that's pretty. It'd be kind of neat to see the presidential candidates. I know you did Trump, maybe like a Trump Hillary pancake all in one.
Could you do Marco Rubio leaving the plate?
That's a good one. Eat him real quick. Plate.
Yeah. What does a Bernie Sanders pancake look like? Huh? There you go.
I've done that.
Oh, you've done Bernie?
I'm a Bernie fan.
Of course you are.
But I did that. That was one of the more realistic. Probably actually the best portrait I've ever done was of Bernie Sanders.
Well, I would think that would be easier to work with because you could make his crazy hair just look like accidents in the batter.
Yeah, you know, just a bunch of plain batter on top, some glasses.
Wasn't that the title of my last album, Accidents in the Batter?
Yeah. The blues band.
So you're going to go to work on my head shortly. And for those of you who just turned your radio on, I'm not explaining that. Again, thanks to MB Financial Bank. And it's amazing. Now, if we go to your website or social, where's the best place to see some of your artistry?
Well, honestly, the best place to like showcase it would be our YouTube. If you go on YouTube and you search for Dan Cakes, we've got a lot of YouTube videos, and they're all like collages of the process, and we've got some that have gotten a lot of views. Like I did all the Pixar characters, you know.
And you're hireable, right?
Absolutely. We'll fly. Farthest I've gone so far is Bangkok.
That's fantastic.
Pretty far, right?
That is
a long way to go for a pancake.
Still crossing my fingers for New Zealand.
So, Dr. Dan, the world is his pancake batter. How do people get a hold of you? Social? Is there a way to connect with you?
Best way to get a hold of us, like if you're interested in hiring us something like that, we've got a booking form on the website, dancakes.com. Pancakes with a D.
All right. So I look forward to you. I've never said this to another grown man. I look forward to you making my head in pancake batter.
It's always a first time.
Yeah, exactly. Stand by for Marcus Kruger from MB Financial Banks after 9 as well. At 8:48, let's get a traffic update. Mary's back with that on 720 WGN. MB Financial Banks, you know, they didn't just bring in Dan Cake. We also have an opportunity for you to get a couple of tickets to a Blackhawks game on April 5th and a ride on the ice resurfacer against the Arizona Coyotes. Go to WGNradio.com/contests and MBFinancialBank.com as well for all the Blackhawks-related stuff they do all season long. All right, so grab your brackets, and I think you know what I'm talking about. And for all of you at work who haven't submitted your brackets yet, you can still do it till tomorrow morning at 11 a.m. for the WGN Bracket Battle. Didn't a kid win this last year? Am I remembering that right? I feel like a little kid won it last year, the overall bracket battle. No, who won? It was an adult?
Yes.
Was it a grown-up? Male or female?
Male.
Well, here was my story.
You sounded cuter.
The South region, Mary, that's the top left-hand corner of your bracket.
Thank you, Steve.
Do you have any upsets in the first round, just in the first round?
I have Hawaii beating California.
As do I. Does anyone else have Hawaii? All right. Any other upsets in your first round of the South region? Did your mic go off?
Oh, me? No, yeah, I'm done with the South.
Okay.
That was my own.
Dave, any upsets in the first round of the South region?
I have a mild upset in the 8-9 game. I have UConn beating Colorado.
I do as well.
Still technically an upset, so there you go. Mm-hmm. My only upset in the first round of the South region is Hawaii. Andrea, you?
I have South Dakota State beating Maryland.
Okay, that's a big upset. Wow. That's
because
gutsy.
Illinois beat
that's
Maryland.
That's a big
please.
Upset.
Please.
That's the Jackrabbits? You got the Jackrabbits?
Is that South Dakota State?
Or is that a medical condition?
You don't know
You've
that?
You've got the jackrabbits?
Yes.
Dave, my personal...
sounds like a disease.
My personal life is really of no one's business.
No consequence. Mm-hmm. Is that your only upset?
UConn over Colorado as well.
Okay. Ross or Mary, Sandberg, do you have any upsets in your bracket in the South region, first round?
In the East?
No, in the South.
Keep in mind that's Mary number two, not me. It's contagious.
No. Sandberg, no, in the South region.
In the South, yeah, I have the Temple beating Iowa. That's not mild, I guess.
Temple over Iowa. No, a 10 over a 7, that's pretty big. All right, so there you go. Let's move on to the West region. Any upsets in the first round, Mary?
You bet. I have Yale beating Baylor. I have Northern Iowa beating Texas.
Northern Iowa over Texas.
That they're supposed to be pretty good.
Yeah, okay.
I did my research.
Well, they throttled our friends at Northwestern. I know that.
No, they didn't.
Northern Iowa?
No.
I thought they beat you guys badly.
No, no. That played them last Iowa. Year, like in the 2014.
What am I thinking of, the Iowa State game, maybe?
Or Iowa Hawkeyes?
I didn't play Iowa State.
Did they
played
play
Iowa?
Iowa Hawkeyes.
It was the Hawkeyes game? It was when we were in Iowa. Was that the
Yeah,
Iowa
that
game?
Was oh yeah, when you guys were there, that was Iowa.
Yeah, okay.
That was the Hawkeyes.
How long were you going to play the
right,
Big
know.
Ten quiz before you let me off the hook?
Get the
well,
right
because
Iowa.
We played Northern Iowa last year.
Okay. All right. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Any upsets, Dave, in the West region?
Well, this is funny, Steve, because I have Northern Iowa beating Texas.
Uh-huh.
The 11 over the 6, and I also have the 10 over the 7, which is Virginia Commonwealth over Oregon State.
Okay, that's very, very good. Before we go any further, we have an update on the Supreme Court pick. Apparently, Reuters, the internationally famous news organization, mm-hmm. got it wrong.
Yep.
All right, so what's the accurate?
The Associated Press now quoting multiple congressional sources is saying the president will nominate Merrick Garland to the Supreme Court.
Oh, that was one of the other final three.
Yes.
Merrick Garland, yes. Who I believe is 63 years old.
And he is also an appellate court judge. I believe he's also on the D.C. Court of Appeals. I could be wrong on that. Let me just double
So that. How did Reuters miss that?
You know?
See, this is why everybody rushes to be first. And in the world of the Internet, when everybody rushes to be first, you end up looking like a fool.
Well, and, you know, Reuters, this is just completely, I trust Reuters implicitly. And my trust in them
Not
has
anymore.
Fallen a few notches this
no.
morning.
No.
Yep.
No. All right. So, well, okay. So, again, the name is?
Merrick Garland.
Merrick Garland.
Yes.
He will be nominated by the president in a couple
Allegedly,
of hours.
Yes.
By the way, we expect a change to Judge Judy about 9:30. We're anticipating that change coming. Andre, any upsets in the, what region are we on? I've forgotten already. West region.
The war in the West. I have two upsets, Cincinnati over St. Joe's, and I have Yale over Baylor.
Okay. I don't see a single upset on my board in the West region. So far, I'm picking a lot of favorites. All right, so we'll come back, and we'll do the East and the Midwest. Can you guys just quickly, though, tell me who's in your Final Four? Mary?
I have Miami, North Carolina, Oklahoma, and Michigan State.
Who wins it all?
Michigan State.
Okay, Dave?
My Final Four, I have Kansas. Mm-hmm. I have Michigan State. I have North Carolina coming out, and I have Oklahoma, and I have Michigan State winning.
Okay. Andre?
I have Oregon, Michigan State, Arizona, and Wisconsin.
And the winner?
Oregon.
I have Kansas, Oklahoma, Indiana, and Michigan State.
Indiana, really?
With a Kansas-Michigan State final and Kansas winning it all.
That's an interesting pick.
Oh, that's, yeah. I don't think that's
good
Andre,
pick. Gutsy
you have Wisconsin?
Pick.
Wow. Maybe.
No, I have Oregon winning.
Sandberg, who's your Final Four?
Miami, Texas, Indiana, and Michigan State.
And the winner?
Go Green, go
White.
Got
go
a
Sparty.
Lot of Michigan State picks here.
Michigan State will make it to the finals, I think.
All right, 9 o'clock, back with your news next, 720 WGN.
Let's go.
3, 2, 1.
The Steve Cochran Show presents Breakfast with the Blackhawk, sponsored by MB Financial Bank. MB means business.
Our friends at MB Financial Bank brought in internationally renowned pancake artist superstar, Dr. Dan, And Dr. Dan just finished my face in pancake. So if you're not on Periscope and you're watching on the live stream, how about that?
And your head's not even really falling off the plate too much.
No. No, I thought his use of batter was quite economical.
I tell you, that's a great rendition.
And it's a great, it's a great batter balanced forehead, don't you think?
I think so, yeah.
You got the goatee right.
I love it.
Right? Oh, very impressive.
A little sparkle in your eye there, too.
He is working on Marcus Kruger's face in a pancake right now as Marcus Kruger joins us now on MB Financial Bank's Breakfast with a Blackhawk. Good morning, Mr. Kruger.
Hey, Steve and Dave. Thanks for having me.
And Audrey is here as well. And Dr. Dan, he was making your face in a pancake right now.
That's awesome.
Have you had it done before?
I don't think so.
It would be very funny if you said you had.
That'd be pretty cool to have.
Yeah. So he'll get it done in just a little bit here, and we'll figure out a way to get it to you. All right, let's start with the obvious. How are you feeling?
Feeling good. Just got to the rink and, getting ready for practice.
And you were very kind to give your number to Andrew Ladd when he came in, but I suppose every guy on the team wants your number now? You're just giving up numbers left and right?
Yeah. I mean, we had Wisey coming in, too, and he used to have number 22 there, so I don't know. I don't think I can do one more, give it away. But, I mean, that number meant a lot for Ladd. So,
sure.
It wasn't a really big thing for me.
You're a good man. You're a good man and a good teammate. And once you get back and you get healthy and you're playing every day, how do you stay healthy for the run and into next year? Because, obviously, the Hawks just doing a new deal with you. They want you around for a long time.
Yeah, I'm really thankful to the management there to give me a chance to be a part of this organization. So, yeah, obviously that feels good. Now I can't wait to get back to the ice.
Hey, how long do you think it's going to be? Is it a matter of maybe not tonight, but by the weekend, next week, couple of weeks?
Are you talking about till his head is done in pancake?
No, not the pancake. Oh. I was talking about when Marcus is back.
Yeah, you know, like right now I'm just so happy with I've been skating with the team for the last few days, so just happy with doing that. So try to take it day by day, progress, and hopefully I play sooner than later. So I think it's pretty close. Mm-hmm.
I want to get back to the number thing for a moment, because in baseball, in a situation like yours, when a guy gives up his number, usually there is some sort of compensation from the player who gets the number to the player who gave it up. Was there any sort of quid pro quo, any sort of payback for you from Ladd for giving up your number?
I didn't know it was like that in baseball. But
yeah, you could have made a bunch, dude. Yeah. You could have bought
at least
a car.
A dinner or something.
Yeah, maybe should tell him that. No, but it actually didn't. It wasn't really a big thing, so yeah.
It's a very nice thing to you.
Listen, I expected it all.
It's so a very
he was really, really thankful, and that was enough for me.
It's a very nice thing to do, and I think it's an example of not just how this team and this organization operates, but it's an example of how hockey players relate to each other when you're on the team. I'll knock your teeth out if you have the wrong sweater on, but if you're on my team, I'll give you my number.
Yeah. I mean, he's been playing with that jersey and that number for a long time. So, like I said, it wasn't really a big deal for me.
I don't want to keep harping on the same thing, but Swedish pancake or regular for you?
Swedish, of course.
Yeah, of course, Swedish. Yeah.
Marcus, as we're watching them make your pancake, your image in pancake, which looks really cool, by the way, have you been to the Swedish bakery in Andersonville?
I have a bunch of times, actually. We usually go up there and get Sandler. That's a Swedish thing.
Adam Sandler's a Swedish thing?
No, it's Swedish pastries.
What is it called?
Yeah, Semlor. It's it's a Swedish thing. We eat you eat it in February every year. It's a special day. You have it. So
I got to tell you,
to go up there and get that at least once a year.
You walk in there and just sniff, and you've had a better day.
Yeah, I know. It's an awesome place, and we go there quite a bit.
All right, so you have been on the sidelines for a while. It's got to be tough to watch these games. And frankly, this team in the middle of a three-game losing streak, nothing could be more unusual for the Blackhawks than to lose three in a row. So tonight may not be a must-win, but it sure is important. What's your sense of the feel on the team? We just got to get it together and get all phases working?
Yeah, I mean, during a year, it's going to be ups and downs. And, I mean, we lost three straight, but I think today's going to be a really good game. I mean, Flyers have a lot on stake, and I think it's a good chance for us to turn the coin around a little bit.
And, Dave, one more question for Mr. Kruger before we talk pancakes, sir.
Well, I just want to get back. Obviously, the Blackhawks have given you a big vote of confidence in you and them with a three-year agreement, and you kind of had to wait your turn last summer when things were sort of being figured out as far as the salary cap. Do you feel like now you've been sort of rewarded for being patient last year and kind of drifting there for a little while you waited for Stan to figure out all the configurations with the salary cap?
Yeah, I mean, you can't really worry about all the stuff when you're playing it. That's been my mindset all the time. You start to play and focus on that, do that as good as I can. And like I said before, I'm really thankful for Rocky, John, and Stan believing in me and get that contract done. So feels obviously really nice.
All right, now joining us here from the Dr. Dan Cake operation is your name, sir?
Hank.
And Hank, what do you do?
I am everything but the pancake art in our pancake business.
You're the manager, the scheduler, you're
booking,
the agent,
yeah. Sanity
the
roadie,
yes, the guy that keeps your artist happy.
Exactly.
Make sure he's getting what he needs. As he works on finishing off Marcus Kruger's head, is there any questions that Marcus might have that you could answer? Marcus, what do you want to know about your pancake face?
I kind of just want to know, is it big enough to me to sleep?
Oh, yeah. It's a good amount of size. It'd fill you up.
Yeah, that's awesome.
He's saying it's actually helps that you're very good looking, so it's easier to draw. A lot of defined features.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to see that.
Marcus, how would you say in Swedish, what do you mean my face is a pancake?
So you say it in Swedish?
Yeah, say it in Swedish for me.
For me, I'm not a man. Who can mean mitt ansikte var en pannkaka?
Yeah, that's our point.
You know what,
mine? That's kind of hard to do, though. Like, you switch to Swedish in the middle of the conversation.
Well, the beautiful thing is, Marcus, I wouldn't know if it was right or wrong.
Good.
So, all right, so how close are we to unveiling the Kruger?
It looks like it's cooking right now.
We're 45 seconds away. Marcus, are you nervous?
A little bit, maybe.
And we've got this up on Periscope at Dr. Dan Cake and also at Cochran Show. But as soon as it's complete, we are going to snap a picture of it and send it to you. We should go snap.
We're not going to send them the pancake?
Oh, no, no. We'll keep the pancake. And we'll
hey, Marcus, have you ever eaten your own face? That's a funny thing we ask people.
No, I haven't.
Well, by the way,
I'm looking forward to see it.
Yeah. By the way, Marcus, this is a little awkward, but Andrew Ladd's on the phone, and he would like your pancake.
Okay. He'd like that as well.
He's so nice.
All right, here we go. We're about to flip. We have the beautiful MB Financial Bank logo, which came out brilliantly. And right now, Marcus, your head is being flipped off a pancake griddle.
Yeah, it's getting scraped off the griddle.
Yes, very close, okay. Very close. I don't know why Kruger's head's bigger than mine. I don't know how that worked out.
Here he goes.
So here we go. Your attention. And it's Marcus. Wow. It's fantastic. Oh, it is fantastic.
He looks hot. Well, literally, he's on the griddle.
Yeah, it's steaming hot.
Yeah.
Marcus, I got to be honest. I don't know if you're that good looking, but you look great in pancake batter.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah, we might just have to eat it.
I'm looking forward to see that picture.
We are going to send it to you, and we're going to figure out a way to actually get you the finished product, the pancake.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you, buddy. I appreciate it. And the folks at MB Financial Bank do as well. And thank you for being on Breakfast with the Blackhawk. I know how hard you're working. We can't wait to get you back on the ice.
Okay. Thank you, guys. Thanks for having me.
I appreciate it. Good guy. Mm-hmm. Good guy. Did you see the pancake?
It is so awesome.
Did you see the finished Kruger?
The Finnish curd is unbelievable.
His head might be a little bigger than yours.
It's really, really good. I don't want to say Dr. Dan phoned my face in, but his Kruger is better. Maybe it's what you're working with, Dan. Maybe that's the problem. Maybe I'm the problem. Remind people again where they can go on YouTube and also on your website.
Yeah, you can follow us on our social media. We got Dan Cakes on YouTube and Dan Cakes on Facebook. At Dr. Dan Cake on everything else. And dancakes.com. If you ever want to have a pancake artist come to your event, we'll come to anywhere in the world, honestly. We've been to Bangkok as far as we've been.
Just love that you flew to Bangkok. Who did? What did you make there?
We were at a food and music festival. We were making a lot of people's faces. Just set up at this music event. It was really weird.
Did you have a translator?
Yes, we did. It was crazy.
Imagine that scene. You have a translator explaining that you're making faces and pancake batter.
Exactly. We met these Russian guys that did cotton candy art, and we hung out with them the whole weekend.
You have a very weird job.
It was really weird.
It's like art imitating life. Well,
exactly.
And again, thanks to MB Financial Bank. MB means business. And MB Financial Bank, by the way, without them, my face would not be in pancake batter this morning.
And your face looks for having us, pretty good on that plate there.
So, don't you eat it.
Not touching it.
921, back with more in a moment on 720 WGN.
The Blackhawks!
Blackhawks Radio.
720 WGN.
Uh-huh.
The Steve Cochran Show presents Hawk.
Chicago.
O-pedia.
We may get a fracas here before it all ends.
A what?
Sponsored by Freshwave, the official deodorizer of your Chicago Blackhawks. If you made pancakes and burned them and you're sticking up your house because you're not Dr. Dan, you need Freshwave.
That's the longest slogan ever. That is their slogan.
Oh, I forgot to mention something, too. MB Financial Bank's giving away a couple of tickets to the Blackhawks on the 5th against Arizona. WGNRadio.com contests. And for all Blackhawks MB Financial Bank stuff and MB Financial Bank in general, go to MB Financial. .com. What are you featuring today?
Well, it's kind of been a theme week. Remember the other day it was your birthday?
Yeah.
So we had the theme of March 14th. Today it's the election. Since the voting is complete, it's a while before we go to the polls again in November, but there will be some other ballots cast, those for the NHL's major awards to be handed out at the league's annual awards extravaganza in Vegas. And we thought we might take a quick look at how that might impact the Blackhawks. Of course, some of these, there's no voting involved. It comes down to raw numbers. For instance, the Art Ross Trophy, which goes to the leading point scorer. And Patrick Kane of the Blackhawks has been the leader most of the season. At the moment, with 12 games to go, he has 89 points. Good for a 12-point lead over last year's winner, Jamie Benn of the Dallas Stars. Kane is also among the frontrunners for the Hart Trophy, which goes to the league's MVP. If he does win it, do you know the last time a Blackhawk won that award, Steve?
And the trophy is again for what?
That's the MVP. That's the Hart Trophy, the league MVP.
I would say maybe it had to happen since 2000, right?
No.
When was the last time?
The 60s.
Oh, come on.
When the Blackhawks won it 4 years in a row, with teammates Bobby Hull and Stan Mikita each winning twice.
Is that right?
How about that?
That's amazing.
Other Blackhawks.
So Chelios never won?
No. He won Norris Trophy, top defenseman. Duncan Keith's won that a couple of times.
And it's tough for a defenseman to win the MVP, but you would think at least they'd be in the conversation.
Yeah, no. Unless my research was incorrect. I doubt it, Dave.
You've never made a mistake. Why would today be the first time?
Well, the first time today. Other Blackhawks who could do well at the ballot box, goaltender Corey Crawford in the voting for the Vezina Trophy as top goaltender, though Braden Holtby of Washington has been leading the way with a league-leading 42 wins. Crawford and Jonathan Quick of the Kings each have 35 wins. And then there's the Calder Trophy, which goes to the league's top rookie. The Blackhawks are Artemi Panarin. Has made a strong case for this all year. 25 goals, 37 assists, 62 points. Jack Eichel of Buffalo also generating some support. He's second in the rookie scoring column. But that's it. We'll keep you posted on the. We'll check out the exit polls and see how
exit
everybody's
polls,
doing.
Early returns, yes. Things of that nature.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Thank you for that, Dave. Very informative. Very thematic.
Thought so.
Well done by you. 928. Before we leave sports, we never finished up our bracket regions. Guys, take a quick look at your East region. Any upsets in your East region of your brackets? Mary, do you have any upsets?
Yes, I have SF Austin
beating
Stephen
F. Austin beating West Virginia, and Providence beating USC.
Yeah, that's my only upset in that region. I got an 9-8 Providence beating USC. Andrea?
I have Chattanooga beating Indiana.
Because you like their choo-choos?
Because I don't like Indiana. Sorry, okay. I'm Big Ten. I got to stay, weirdly loyal.
And that's a reason that you pull for the Big Ten teams in the tournament.
That's the only one? The only upset?
Michigan over Notre Dame. Or Michigan-Tulsa.
Michigan-Tulsa.
But you have Notre Dame losing to whoever wins that game tonight.
Yes.
Okay. Does that make sense? Yeah. Yeah, that's actually technically a second round, but I see what you're saying.
Okay, yeah.
Dave.
Sorry.
I have a Sweet 16 upset. Again.
Well, no, Dave, the first round. First round upset.
First round, no.
Okay. Sandberg.
None.
Yeah. Okay, and then in the Midwest region, again, I've only got a 9-8 upset, and that is Butler beating Texas Tech. Marianne Ann, you're with?
Oh, yeah, I got a lot. I got Iona beating Iowa State. I got Gonzaga beating Seton Hall. I have Syracuse beating Dayton. I'm just going for broke.
Good God, you're blowing up your Midwest bracket.
I am.
I have Syracuse beating Dayton, too, and I think I might do Little Rock over Purdue, just because I'm not a Purdue fan, Big Ten. Okay.
Well, you need to commit.
What do you mean you might? You had to have put them in yesterday.
How about you, Dave?
I thought that was the rule.
No, I'm done with my upsets.
Sandberg, Midwest?
Round. Just Butler.
All right, so there you go. Those are some of the sneak peeks. You heard all of our finals. Basically, everybody picked Michigan State but me. And I went with Kansas.
To win? Did everybody else have Michigan State?
Believe so.
I have Oregon.
Yes.
Well, you had Oregon.
Yeah, I thought
Oregon
someone
win.
Else
yeah.
had.
Yeah. So it's Kansas, Oregon, and the rest of the room is Michigan State. So, and Ross, did you have time as a new father to finish your bracket?
No, I went with chalk because I have a baby.
Okay. It's 9:30. We'll come back with the big story next on 720 WGN.
I was surprised. I didn't anticipate this coming. But again, we tried to build this roster so that it was going to be insulated against injury or underperformance. And while retirement wasn't on that list, it's the same type of scenario that we had attempted to protect ourselves against. So,
Rick Hahn, White Sox GM. Wake up, you got to work in the desert. Put on your stirrups and your spikes just like the rest of us. Next thing you know, you're missing a big bat. Not anymore. Back in high school. Kevin Powell continues to spend the company's money. He's out in Arizona for spring training. Good morning, Kevin.
Morning, Steve. How are you?
Well, as a core White Sox fan, even though I know you're a very unbiased journalist when it comes to baseball, what happened yesterday? Did you say something to Adam LaRoche to make him quit?
No. But, when I first saw him, he looked... He didn't look great. He didn't look happy. I just saw him walking across the hall from the trainer's room. He's been having some back issues all spring and has only played in two games. He walked into the clubhouse. We waited a long time anticipating Robin Ventura to come out of the locker room to address the media just before they took on the Dodgers in a spring game. And it was about a two-hour wait. Robin didn't become available. Next thing we know, he told the team he was stepping away from baseball, retiring.
Now, is this official and forever, or is this going to be one of these 2 weeks away from the game and I missed it and I'm coming back?
Well, from what Rick Hahn said and from what Robin Ventura said yesterday, they're not anticipating him changing his mind. They said he's very a strong-minded guy, a well-thought-out guy, so... They would be surprised if he did change his mind, but they didn't completely rule it out. And Rick Hahn said he wouldn't completely rule it out either. So, but I think the White Sox are going to need to find a backup first baseman and a DH moving forward.
Well, what are the options? Where do they go from here for backup to Jose Abreu and also a DH?
Well, Robin Ventura didn't say much on who right now would be the backup for Jose Abreu. He said, if needed, Todd Frazier, their new third baseman, can step over to first. But a couple names that had been tossed out even a couple weeks ago were Jay Bruce, the outfielder with the Cincinnati Reds. But I don't know how excited, if you're a Sox fan, you would be about that. He's had some pretty bad numbers over the past couple years. There's been talks of Carlos Gonzalez with the Colorado Rockies, who I think a lot of fans would like. He's got a big bat, but it'd be a very steep price to pay if you were to trade for him. So we'll see. The signing of Austin Jackson, the outfielder, becomes even more important now, because if they don't go out of the organization to get in their DH or first baseman, that gives Robin Ventura a chance to put Melky Cabrera at DH or even Avi Garcia, because right now the Sox have a similar issue as the Cubs do, which is a surplus of outfielders. They have four outfielders that could play most every day. So that does give Robin Ventura an option to kind of get creative and move guys around there.
Listen, I'm not going to be the first guy to think of this, but White Sox first baseman, have they lost Canerco's cell phone? I mean, come on.
I think Canerco's pretty much committed to retirement and golf the rest of the way, Steve.
I don't know.
But, I don't know. You know, it's not the worst thing
show
in the world.
Show business, I mean, calls. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I hear you. Adam LaRoche, though, his numbers real quick. Batted .207 last year, hit just 12 home runs and 44 RBIs. The year before that, he hit 26 home runs and 92 RBIs, batted .259. Quite the drop-off. And it's clearing $13 million off the Sox book for this year.
Would have been nice if that $13 million had been available, though, this winter. I mean, now they, I guess, they can hold it for a while and see what happens. And if they're in contention, if they're buyers at the deadline, then you've got $13 million to spend.
Well, you go to the first base store. You go to the first base store.
You can do that,
and find yourself a first baseman.
Yeah.
First base R Us.
This is not the only thing Kevin did in the desert yesterday. Kevin also tried to fatten up Chris Sale. What's the story there?
Chris Sale, who's about 6 foot six, weighs roughly 180 right now. That weight fluctuates from 160 to 170. He's skinny. He's lanky.
6'6", 160.
Well, that's a low weight. Right now, he's about 180 right now.
180 is still a rail.
For 6'6", yeah. He's skinny. He's lanky. So he's been trying to bulk up a little bit, which I've never had an issue with, Steve. I'm kind of an expert in that area.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So we chatted because his diet had recently become public and what he'd been eating. So I asked him, Chris, what are some of your favorite things to eat?
Like I said, tacos is a go-to. Steak.
Pizza.
I had steak.
McDonald's.
Pizza.
Wendy's.
Pizza's good. Wendy's is always good.
Have you tried the Quesalupa at Taco Bell?
I haven't been to Taco Bell in like... I haven't been to Taco Bell in a long time.
John, you eat fast food?
Whenever he goes.
John Danks' locker mate sitting next to
him. Yeah.
Yeah, John Danks claims he only goes to fast food when Chris drags him along. So, Chris Sale, kids, if you want to be a professional millionaire starting pitcher for the White Sox, get an extra Happy Meal or something this morning.
But what did he say? Mostly steaks and tacos?
He said he loves tacos. His wife makes tacos on Tuesdays.
Also, you're in Arizona. There's no better tacos in the world than in Arizona. Yeah. It's a law in Arizona. There has to be tacos on every corner.
Oh, yeah. Awesome Mexican food.
I love that you're asking him if he had tried, what was that, a chalupa? Well,
No, the Quesalupa.
Oh, the Quesalupa.
Groundbreaking.
Sorry.
Groundbreaking fast
food
item.
Here's the thing, and Andre, you know this. Anybody can ask Chris Sale about how he's feeling.
Yeah.
Is his shoulder strong? Pitch count numbers? How do you feel about the team's chances? Very few people have the guts to go to the gut. And that's what he did.
Well, I figured I should ask a baseball question. So right when we finished up, I just said, so how you feeling after that B session yesterday? He said, good. I said, all right, good talking to you, Chris. See you later.
Right, because you covered the important stuff.
Right.
All right, so what's on the agenda today? Back to the Cubs?
You know what? I might head over back to Camelback. Both of them are on the road today, so I may try to swing by both camps today, to be honest, try to catch them in their morning sessions here. But I wouldn't mind being over at Camelback just in case there's any more news on Adam LaRoche.
And he's also considering going to both home parks, which sometimes are shared or used by other teams. But if they're available today, he'll go in and steal gear because he has a press pass.
Oh, yeah.
Because they're on the road.
And I should plug, there's multiple blogs up. There's video tours inside Sloan Park I did and Camelback Ranch if you want to see what the stadiums are like. There's blogs, there's photos, videos, all at WGNradio.com.
We talked about getting you a GoPro camera before you left, and somebody took it to South by Southwest. We got to get an extra GoPro. I can't believe we only have one.
Yeah.
But what I wanted was GoPro footage of Kevin running the bases.
Huh. Kevin, I'll be down there in a couple days. If you're still down there, I'll shoot you. I'll shoot you running the bases.
Okay. I was hoping you were going to finish that sentence.
Andre, Matt Burton was getting some action yesterday.
Really?
He's almost back to full time playing. Yes, after his appendectomy.
Yeah, that's exciting news.
But
for
you
all
still
of us.
Don't see. Hold on, you guys. Wait.
Doesn't
important
mean he's
going to
make the team.
Yeah. I'm asking Kevin. Kevin, do you think he has any shot at making it?
And we're out of time. No. It's 9:48, so Kevin, you'll be checking in with Bill and Wendy and Roe as well?
That's the game plan today, yeah. So check out Twitter. I'll post the times for those discussions with them as well.
You know, I think you know this to be true. Jimmy DeCastro, the guy that runs this place, is going to be very upset with you if you don't claim you're working and instead go golfing.
Yeah, that may be on the agenda today. We'll see.
All right, and make up some cockamamie excuse about why it didn't happen.
Are you having fun, Kev?
I'm having a blast. I mean, you know, it's some of it's work, but I'm still the gist of it is that I'm watching baseball and I'm around professional athletes and
yeah.
I'm in the clubhouses. It's a good time, and the weather is unbelievable.
Bonding
out here.
Over fast food.
Well, one question: I called his hotel last night. Do you have a personal assistant now?
No, I wish. Why?
Well, because it's weird, because the first time I called, somebody picked up the phone and said, "Hello, this is Inga." And then I asked for Kevin, and she said, "Mr. Kevin's not here." And she giggled and hung up the phone.
Well, Inga, I met her at dinner last night.
Okay.
Yeah, sure.
Let it go, Kevin.
Good time.
All right. Well, good luck to both of you.
Thank you guys.
All right. So we'll hear you later with Bill and Wendy and Roe, or call from the golf course and claim you're at the park.
Sounds good, guys. Good talk to you.
There you go. That's Kevin Powell, who used to contribute to this show.
Inga.
Pat Brady was on French TV this morning. He's not an enemy of state. It appears the French dislike Donald Trump almost as much as I do. We'll get details from Pat in a moment, and also did a great job on Channel 7 last night.
Yeah, we were watching you, Pat.
Yeah, propping up that new guy, Ron Majors. Yeah. Stand by more with Pat in a moment, and then Bill and Wendy on 720 WGN. Pat Brady's here. Pat was on Channel 7 last night for the election coverage, and this morning he was on French TV. Why French TV?
They have an interest in this race. They are just astounded that Donald Trump is in the position he's in.
Get in line. The astounded line starts here.
Well, the good news is, Steve, as a John Kasich delegate, I actually won last night. So I will be on the convention floor.
Good. Congratulations.
I'm selling sponsorships on my suit.
Now, we plan on being in Cleveland for a brokered convention. Are you going to have time to be on the show?
Oh, yeah. Give me a headset. I'll be down there. I'll be the one screaming.
Oh, God.
You're going to be in the middle of like a ruckus?
I'm going to have a Dave
and
for
rumble?
President sign.
There you go.
It's going to be all over. It'll be worldwide news.
Oh, I remember love it. Thank you, Pat.
Remember on the board of trade on the floor where they used to give hand signals and scream out the commodities?
Yeah.
That's going to be Pat.
That'll be like Mayor Daley in 68.
So Kasich wins Ohio. Why is that enough to create a problem for the big orange one?
Kills the inevitability. It stops the bleeding. He cannot now realistically march to the nomination. He would have to win 60% of all the remaining delegates. There's still 1,000 delegates out, and he won't do that. So it's going to go hand-to-hand combat till June.
So he's won somewhere between 33% and 36% of the delegates so far. Is that the number?
Yeah, something like that.
All right. So he would have to jump that to
60% of the rest of them, and there's still 1,000 available. And the electoral map actually benefits a guy like Kasich. You get in the northern states and the eastern states and some of the western states. And the analysis I saw this morning, 3-1 of Rubio's people go to Kasich.
But those Rubio delegates don't have to go anywhere, even if he releases them. They could do that ceremonial thing at the convention, right, where they announce for Rubio in the first vote?
State by state. So the Minnesota delegates, for example, he won, are free agents.
Oh, officially already?
Officially already. But now it's different in every state.
Okay, so what's the process for that? Kasich calls and goes, "How many of you want to go to Six Flags?"
I think it's like
Sandy Point for you.
It might be like a Chicago City Council meeting. I think it's going to be. This is going to be rules, backroom stuff. It's going to be a lot of
and lawsuits.
With Trump, yeah, it'll be lawsuits. He threatened today that there were going to be riots if he didn't win.
Well, I find that hard to believe because he doesn't condone violence.
No, he's a very rational guy. This is the guy you want pushing the buttons.
Yes, and holding the bag, literally.
And looking at Putin.
Yeah, yeah. But can you imagine what Putin would do to Trump?
Oh.
Is your face really orange?
Can you imagine the Saturday Night Live sketches?
Well, at least we can laugh our way into oblivion. What is Ted Cruz's position in all of this in regards to his ability to be the spoiler?
He'll scream and yell for Kasich to get out, but the reality is it's going to be an open convention. They're going to split all these delegates up, and we're going to have quite a fight in July.
All right, so you were on a French national television network this morning.
I'm going. I did it before. I did it last week, but I'm going to do it again.
Oh, it's starting
it's,
now?
It's at noon, yeah.
Okay. So that's a nighttime show there then, obviously.
Yes. I think it's, yeah. It's, yeah.
Do you speak French?
No, and I told the producer I got kicked out of French in high school, so this better be all English. He said something in French. But
are you sure it's not going to be a bunch of French cafe waiters who are bringing you in just to make fun of you?
It might be a French, I don't know what, it might be something.
Just remember, je vais à la plage.
What
je m'appelle Patrick.
I'm going to the beach.
I'm going to the beach. Just repeat that over and over again. Will you be with us tomorrow?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, so Pat Brady will be with us tomorrow as we do our regular Thursday wing dang doodle. Nice to see you, buddy.
You too. Thanks.
Andrea is off for a couple of days. Where are you going?
I'm heading to the desert for some golf and spring training.
Okay.
A little R&R. I'll miss you guys.
And you as well. And Dave, you'll be here with me tomorrow?
I will be here. I'm not deserting you, Steve.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Mary as well. Steve standing by in the newsroom, and we're standing by for the official Supreme Court announcement.